Andre was big. Yeah, 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 it was not small. No, 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 Andre could eat, and he could fight. Drink, 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 fight, fight, fight. Andre was big. Yeah, 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 it was not small. No, 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 Andre could drink, and he could fight. Drink, 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 fight, fight, fight.
Andre the Giant.
Andre was big. Yeah, 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 it was not small. No, 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 Andre was great. He was not bad. A great big hat and a great big man. Andre was big. Yeah, 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 it was not small. No, 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 Andre could, and he could fight. Great, great, fight, fight, fight.
Andre the Giant.
From Grenoble, France.
All right, we are back. Welcome to In Your Head Wrestling Radio. I am the internet icon, the pride of the pilgrims, Jackie Jones, lost by right hand man.
1-inch biceps, the power goat. Yeah.
Oh, man. He's coming out right with the buh.
How about that?
That's pretty sweet. Joining us right off the bat is a man behind Wrestling Retribution Project. And in 2005, Larry Zerner, Shelley. Oh, Friday 13th, Part 3, he told us to get us on the get this man on the show, and 7 years later, here he is. We've got Jeff Katz.
Thank you for having me. Good to talk to you guys. Send Larry my best if you talk to him.
All right, we will. Just us. In case you don't know this, we also do a horror show, so that's why we're talking.
Well, that makes sense. I would expect for having Larry on. I didn't think Larry was wrestling.
Yeah.
He's down with that.
Now, if anyone wants to call in, the number is 508-644-8503. And I got a couple people online. We'll get to you in a minute. Well, let everybody know, you check out WrestlingRetributionProject.com. And I know you've probably been asked this a million times, but can you just explain the basic concept of the project?
Yeah, the easiest way to put it would basically be, if you imagine, if any of you that watch cable television programs, be it HBO, Showtime, FX, you know, just the way sort of those scripted series work now, it's basically just imagine taking wrestling and kind of, instead of doing 52 weeks a year and an ongoing sort of thing, just trying to apply that kind of cable television model to it. So it's basically wrestling in a seasonal form, done ideally with some characterization and such that's slightly more adult and complex than sort of the standard norm in this day and age.
Yeah. Now, in your opinion, is that really dramatically different than what wrestling should be?
I'm sorry?
Say that again,
I'm sorry.
Do you think that's really a lot different than what, you know, like wrestling has been? Now,
well,
someone three
I mean,
years
I think,
out, do they, do you, is it going to be like a totally different thing than what someone would see on wrestling?
No, I mean,
wrestling,
I think it's very clearly wrestling, but if you look at the model of wrestling television, just use WWE and TNA as an example, they're 52-week-a-year programs. There's no beginning, there's no middle, there's no end. It just goes on forever. So the biggest difference would probably be this has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So that would probably be the central sort of difference. And the models themselves are just fundamentally different.
Mm-hmm. Now, will all the stories like revolve around the actual matches, or is it going to be more stuff outside of the ring?
No, it's a wrestling show. It will believe me, if you are a wrestling fan, it will be very classically wrestling.
Mm. Now, do you think that right now is like, you know, wrestling needs like a new direction, like a new style?
You know, that's honestly for fans and consumers to decide. We all have our opinions on that. I personally, I've pretty much stopped watching in a big way. I've just kind of sort of started to move on. My whole sort of point of view. I do think the model itself, you got to remember that the television model, as you just used WWE as an example, and obviously TNA does a similar model, that model predates YouTube, Netflix, iTunes, iPods, BitTorrent, piracy and streaming, on demand. It just predates all of these things. You got to remember, it's like a 15-year-old model, even longer now. And so I just think the world's changed. The way people consume their content has changed. The people's options of where they get their content has changed. It's just a fundamentally different world.
Mm. When you said there's like three acts, beginning and middle and an end, do you mean like of the whole the whole show itself, or like the main characters, or how does that work?
All of them. I the best way I can explain it is it's just taking the rules of classic television and applying them to wrestling. In my day job, I work in Hollywood. Otherwise, it's relatively de rigueur. These are sort of the rules that we would follow on developing any sort of project. Wrestling is quite unique in the sense, even when you compare it, if you wanted to sports leagues, those leagues have off seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't know. I mean, again, in a movie, a TV show, a book, whatever, WrestleMania would be your last chapter, would be the end of the story. Well, in wrestling, the very next night you have another show that in many cases will continue on the issues from that the end moment. And in many cases, you're going to see those matches again a month later at the next pay-per-view. So it affects everybody from the top down. I mean, once you adhere to that model, I don't know how you could not have everybody. It wouldn't make much sense to, hey, these guys' character arcs wrap up, but I leave these things dangling. I don't think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. Now, are there going to be titles in the wrestling promotion?
There's title, but it's very different from sort of the norm.
Mm-hmm. So what will be like the main thing that the guys will be competing about?
I'm sorry, can you say that again? I'm sorry.
If there's no, you said the title is different, what will be the reason why these guys are, competing against each other?
Oh, you want to win the title.
Okay, so there will be a title.
Like I said, there was a title.
Yeah.
He said it's going to be different, though, Jack.
How do you mean it's going to be different?
Well, do you want me to ruin everything? I'll do it if you
just
want.
Just give us all the goods.
He's just going to tell
me. You guys have to. I mean, basically, you got to understand. I don't know that I'll do it. I'd like to do more of these. There's no guarantee that I will do more. And so I had to set this up in a way where if it was the only time I ever did it, it's got to make sense. I can't sit there and leave cliffhangers where suddenly if I don't do another one, people are unsatisfied with the journey. I'm a big believer that at the end of the day, be it sport or wrestling, what's the goal at the end of the day?
Yeah.
In wrestling, it's to win the title. In sports, it's to win your championship. So, no different.
Yeah. Now, how did you go about choosing the roster? Were they got all these people specifically that you picked out? Or?
Yeah. No, I'm a wrestling fan. So I worked for WCW as a teenager. I follow the business still, even without watching much anymore, pretty heavily. And I like to think I'm a student of the game at some level, particularly on the international end. So I just really wanted to go out and get people that were not obvious necessarily or were not all the usual suspects and ideally have a mix, sort of put it together like you would making an indie movie where you go and get guys that are ex-WWE, you go and get guys who are fresh faces, you go get some international. I really, again, this was all a big experiment. This whole thing happened by accident. So my whole sort of mantra all along was, if you're going to do this, there's no point in playing it safe and doing what everybody else does. I don't see much of a point in doing that.
Yeah. Now, why did you change the names of most of the, or pretty much all the guys?
Again, I wanted to cut the cord on continuity that said that everything leads to WWE. It's the end of, that's the be-all, end-all. They don't exist in my universe. I fully recognize that there are fans that won't get that, but I think most fans will. It's the DC universe and the Marvel universe are two different things. I just think if you can actually apply the same rules and suspension of disbelief that you apply to every other TV show, I'm going to use Dexter as an example. The guy that plays Dexter before he was Dexter was a gay mortician for 6 years on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that doesn't stop you from watching him on Dexter and appreciating the fact that he's giving a fully realized characterization as that guy. And so again, you could go anywhere else and go see, here's ex-WWE guy and his gimmick is 5 degrees off, or here's ex-WWE guy and he's spelling his name slightly different. I mean, to be honest with you guys, if I had done that, would anybody care?
Right.
Would you guys go out of your way to watch it?
Well, I just, some of the guys I could see, sometimes people are mad even when an indie guy goes to the WWE and they change his gimmick or his name, and I don't, maybe not like the ex-WWE guys coming in and changing their names, but maybe some of the bigger indie guys. I could see some fans maybe not being happy that you change your name.
Well, tough shit at the end of the day.
It doesn't bother me. I was just asking.
Honestly, guys, I'm never going to please everybody, am I? That's just impossible. And wrestling fans particularly, I'm a wrestling fan. I get the psychology. So at the end of the day, guys, just my point of view was there's no point in doing this whatsoever if I just do what everybody else does. I'd rather fail and try to do my own thing.
Inchin, did you have a question from the board? I know there's a good one on there I was going to ask.
Yeah, I think I'm on it right now. Glogo13, he wants to know, I guess this is from the WCW Live days, he wants to know if James from Kentucky was a real person or a gimmick played by somebody in WCW.
You know, I actually wasn't. That came after me. I was all the early play-by-play stuff. That would have been Borash is the guy probably to answer that question.
Oh, okay.
Was that a recurring go-to thing, James from Kentucky?
Wouldn't
stun me if that was a work, but I can text Borash after and find out.
I'm pretty sure it was a real guy, because then he went on to call Meltzer a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, he did? Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, that was after my time.
Yeah. Anthony is on the line. Do you have a question for Drift?
Yes, I do, Drew. What is like in the wrestling business with in the 80s with Hogan when wrestling was good? Right now, wrestling is so-so. What's it like wrestling in the 80s for you? Hello?
What did I... Yeah, could you hear me? What did I like in the 80s?
Yeah.
Because they were the best.
I'm 33. So I have the great luxury of kind of coming up in two really fun eras. I started out, I was a typical kid who, in the Hulk Hogan WWF boom, that's what got me hooked. And my dad was a labor attorney in Detroit. He had a client who was a videotape distributor. He brought home a copy of WrestleMania 5. And from that point on, I was like, I got to go watch everything in front of this and everything behind it. Then when I was in sixth grade or so, I found this thing called WCW, which obviously wasn't as well produced and was slightly grittier, but they had this guy Ric Flair and they bled and it was just a totally different kind of animal. And really at that point I had my gateway drug, so after that I went and I started getting into Japan, I started getting into, you know, all those other areas. So I was the sort of guy who once I got hooked, I tried to be as much similar. I'm a movie geek. I tried to go back and watch as much old stuff as I had. So if you go and look at the 80s, and I'm notorious with a lot of my friends in the business because I digitized my entire wrestling collection that I built over the years. So I have a terabyte hard drive with all my stuff that I kept. And so, you know, depending on my mood, I may want to go watch some 80s All Japan. I may want to watch Mid-South. I grew up in Detroit, which is a great wrestling town. So I'm 87. You had WrestleMania 3, obviously. I was at Survivor Series when Undertaker beat Hogan when he first come out. I think it was his first a year anniversary in the business, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was 90.
Yeah, frankly, I went through all the dregs of that, so through the very bad years, then until you had the 90s boom. So I got to be around during all of that, and if you have my favorite guys, it's going to be a lot of the typical. I was Savage, Steamboat, Hogan, Flair, Barry Windham. I was a Horseman guy. I just think as I got older, my taste continued to evolve, and then I discovered Misawa and Kobashi, and, you know, once you're watching All Japan and New Japan and stuff, you're pretty far gone as a hardcore fan. So I was the kid who would import games from Japan, so I could play Fire Pro Wrestling or Virtual Pro Wrestling 1 and 2 or King of Coliseum, and that was always the stuff that I loved. So I got hooked young. I think my dad at some level before I actually helped my career probably was not thrilled that I got his hook. They probably would have loved to have not brought the videotape back home in hindsight. But, you know, it's just by virtue of my age, I got to grow up through all of that boom period, stand up late for Saturday Night's Main Event and all of that stuff. So it's hard to quantify it down to favorites because it became such a big part of my life at that point.
Even though when David Arquette won the belt, WCW, that was the final straw.
Well, yeah, I mean, by that point, frankly, I don't think anybody would disagree with you. I think by that point, though, the sort of writing was on the wall. And honestly, at that point, I was out in Los Angeles already working at New Line and sort of started that portion of my career. It was sad, obviously, to watch what went on at the end. But I have to say, and I said this in a bunch of the interviews I've done, for as much negative as you hear about WCW, for me personally, it was only positive, and it was really one of the best things that ever happened in my career. I had a great experience. It was good for me in anticipation of coming to Hollywood, and I made relationships and friends that I've kept for the rest of my life. So WCW for me was a uniformly positive experience.
All right, thank you, Jack. I'll see you next week.
Thanks. Who is Drew, by the way?
What?
I'm sorry?
When he called in, he said Drew. I don't. There's no one on the show named Drew. I was just wondering who he's.
I'll see you next week, Jack.
All right, thanks, Anthony.
You ain't going to get your answers.
I guess not. Let's see. We've got Eric on the line.
Thank you, Drew. First of all, hi, Jeff Katz. This is probably the sixth interview I've heard with you, and I must say you are one of my favorites to listen to.
But, oh, thank you very much.
I'm not going to blow you anymore.
You at least have to buy me dinner first before that. Let's at least do me the service of that.
Well, Jack might have a problem with that. He's my bro, Jeff, but... So my question to you is, these characters, how did you come up with the idea of them, or did you let them come up with their own ideas? Hello.
Yeah, no, I, in most cases, had concepts that I had wanted to do in a lot of cases for a while, and really for me, once I realized, cause this whole thing was an act, this was not something I was planning on doing, and so once it started to seem like it was resonating a little bit, it was actually, I think, kind of cracking the model and the idea of kind of cutting the cord on the current chronology that really got me hooked to where I was like, I am going to go figure out a way to get this done. I want to go do it. And so in a lot of cases, I just really tried to make a point to go and do something, whether I succeed or fail, that was a little bit more three-dimensional or kind of modern in terms of where characters were compared to what I was seeing, particularly on WWE. And a lot of that's just driven by the fact that, you know, the stuff that I watch, I watch no network television anymore. It's horrifying. Like, all I watch are cable shows. And so I think when you look at HBO and Showtime, even down to FX and AMC now, they all do characters that are so much more complicated generally than what you would get on NBC, ABC, CBS, that I kind of tried to go in with that mantra. So using MVP's character, Lord of War, as an example, to, you know, in modern wrestling, if you have a guy who's a war hero type character, usually he's always going to be presented as a flag waving USA, USA guy. I thought it would be a lot more interesting to go and sort of take the idea of almost like the John Voight movie Coming Home from the 70s, like just to try and go and give a bit more of a sinister sort of flip side to that. Or obviously, in the case of Joey Ryan's thing, the idea of having a gay good guy who's not a caricature, who just happens to be tough and can kick your ass, and it's just it's an element of his personality, but he's not defined by it. He's not resuscitating Ahmed Johnson with his tongue or anything like that. I think that was just exciting because at a certain level, you know, I have great respect for what obviously Vince has built over the years, and I have a good relationship with Triple H and Stephanie there. I like those people, but at the end of the day, I saw this even in Hollywood working at New Line. When you're 65 years old, you're pretty much set in how you're going to do your business. Like, you're not really going to evolve at 65. And I just found myself on Monday night sitting there going, like, why am I wasting my time with this when I wouldn't do this with anybody else? If I got this on any other show and they sort of ignored continuity and the characterization sort of flip-flopped as often as they did, I'd be furious. I'd stop watching. And I just sort of recognized that I was really watching more out of force of habit than anything else. And ironically, I think I was having Shane Helms on after me. I talked to Shane earlier today. Royal Rumble was the first WWE television show I had seen in full since May, since this whole thing started. And, you know, I want the business to do well. I got a lot of friends that work over there. I don't begrudge anybody that still loves it. It's just not for me anymore. And so I was like, all right, if I'm going to stop, then I just assume kind of go out making my own kind of statement on it. And, you know, as we said earlier, some people will get it and like it. Other people won't like it. And then that's how the cookie crumbles. So in my view, the fact that I was able to go make it, get, I think, what is a pretty cool roster of talent and ultimately get distribution, is kind of like I've won at a certain level. I've gotten to do what I wanted to go do. And at this point, it's like sending your kid out to college. You just hope the kid doesn't get drunk and fall out of a dorm room or whatever. You basically just sort of hope for the best. And people will like it or they won't like it. You can't put a gun to their heads. And as you know, wrestling fans particularly, if they don't like it, I will be hearing about it consistently on Twitter, believe me.
Speaking of Twitter stuff, and you know, you brought up the torrents. Why did you decide to do it on the internet? Do you think, you know, that's really like where the future's going for entertainment?
In terms of what? In terms of the how I raise money or distribution or
both, really.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, the Kickstarter and all that, I was just kind of trying to make a point. I was just tired of people complaining and not realizing, you know, guys, if you just keep watching, they're not going to change. That's that's you know, if you're not happy with the way a studio is treating your favorite franchise, don't go to the next version of the franchise, because if you keep giving them their money, they're not going to think there's a problem. And so that just started that. And again, frankly, once that started happening in that form, you know, the reality is the whole thing was a big experiment anyway. And so I just was sort of the attitude, keep that philosophy through the remainder of this, because I just didn't see any reason to do this in what would be considered traditional sort of wrestling logic, if you will. Because I think more often than not, the view is, well, you got to get the weekly television, then you get the 3-hour pay-per-views once a month on Sunday. I think that ship has sailed. So to me, it was really driven more by how people consume their content, where they go for these things. You know, I'm not naive as to where people go to pirate stuff, how they pirate it. I'm 33. I'm not stupid. I had Napster. So I know what the Pirate Bay is. I know what ISO Hunt is. I even know the wrestling torrent sites. I know they exist. And my whole thing was, instead of sitting there and trying to play a big game of whack-a-mole, try admit that you understand it, admit you know that it's going to happen, and try to work with people and use it to your advantage as best as possible. I'm not dumb. People are going to steal the show. That's just the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you make money on a show on the internet if everyone's watching it for free?
Well, again, you got to remember it's economies of scale. So I go and I raise $100,000. I make my season for $100,000. So I've now gone and I've filmed a season of television, basically, that is 1/6 the cost of a single episode of Monday Night Raw. Now, I've got domestic distribution. I have international distribution. Between those two alone, my budget's basically covered. And then at that point, it's all economies of scale. I don't have overhead. I don't have Titan Towers. So for me, all I have to do is hit a single or a double, and I'm probably looking at making another one. So it's just a different game entirely.
Well, what sites will people be able to watch it on?
I'm sorry?
Where will people be able to watch it? You know what?
It'll be pretty broad. I mean, Image Entertainment's my distributor, and they're the biggest independent distributor in North America. So you'll have Netflix, Hulu, iTunes, Blu-ray, DVD. I'm of the view you got to give the audience the ability to watch it when they want it, where they want it, how they want it, at the price point they want it at, in the format they want it at, or they're going to steal it. So and Image has been very forward-thinking in that end. And frankly, Mark Ward, who's my executive there, is a wrestling fan, so it was a really easy conversation. Mark got it and understood sort of he watches, so he sort of knows the issues of the business. And they just embraced that from the jump. And again, it's economies of scale. For what it's going to cost them, they can afford to take the risk. If it was a $10 million project, then you're looking at a whole different McGill.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know Netflix has started with Lily Hammer's their first show, and mm-hmm. I think they have some other ones playing, I think, is the next season.
Well, they have a bunch. They have a Kevin Spacey, David Fincher, Arrested Development's coming back. Yeah, you're going to see Hulu is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched Lily Hammer?
I watched the first episode of Lily Hammer, actually, over the weekend. Oh, it was okay. I wasn't blown away by it.
I've watched the whole season. I think, actually, a big problem with the show is not that I'm dumb or anything, I can't read, but this guy's calling in. If you call in, just be quiet. But is it the show's, you have to read it to follow it. If you're on the internet, you're most likely like looking at other websites, and the show, it's all subtitled. It's kind of hard to follow while you're trying to do some other stuff online.
Right. Well, I think part of that's the issue with 3D television is they forget that people multitask. I'm never watching television without my laptop near me.
Yeah. So, sorry.
Well, I mean, I think you're only going to continue to see them move in that direction, because you got to remember, at the end of the day, Netflix doesn't own any of that content. Mm-hmm. And the game is in owning libraries of content, because at some point, studios are going to sit and look at this and go, wait a minute, why are we allowing Netflix to collect monthly fees for millions of consumers on our content when we could just be doing that ourselves? You know, it's easier said than done, but that debate's going to be had.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling in, Eric.
Yeah.
I think he was all done anyway. Now, I know you get out. Wow. All right, this guy's calling back. Andy, do you have a question? Did you try to make less noise?
I think he's just trying to wreck our audio. That's all he's doing.
Andy, do you have a question? Last chance. No. Now, I know you've got Lance Storm and Tommy Dreamer, but now are those guys helping out with like the booking, the storylines? What's going on with those?
Well, I certainly picked their brains on stuff, but I, you know, by the time I had hired those guys, and Chris Daniels as well, who came in and helped us out, mm-hmm. I had already written the script for the season. So by the time, I mean, Lance basically looked at it, would give notes, and we had those conversations. But I had mapped out the entire season already.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you need, like, guys that have more wrestling experience, like actually in the ring or whatnot, to help you with some of the wrestling side of it?
I mean, I like to think, again, you'd have to ask Lance and Tommy. I think I like to think I know what I'm talking about at some level regarding the business. I'm never going to lay out stuff with the sort of sixth sense that those guys do just because of the repetition of doing thousands of matches in your lives. But I think if they had an issue with anything creatively, they would have broached it. I mean, I said to them when I hired them, I'm not looking for yes men. I'm looking for people that will tell me that's stupid and here's why, and we can have an adult conversation about it. I don't see the point in sitting there and having a room of people that think that anything I shit smells like gold. That's not a good idea.
Mm. Now, Vince Russo recently left TNA. Would you be willing to work with him at all?
I don't see what the point is. If I'm going to run my own company, I'm going to book it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's a lovely guy. I don't know him, but I don't see what the point of that would be.
So you don't know him? You didn't work with him at all in WCW?
No, I was gone by that. I was in LA by that
point. All right.
No, I was there. I was in WCW like during the fun part when we were winning.
Right.
I was in LA. The tide, I think, it started to turn by the time I got out to LA. I mean, I arrived in LA on my 20th birthday, so it had been December 29th, 98. So Steve Austin's popped, The Rock has popped, and, you know, I think the foot had dropped, basically, but it had the bottom had not fallen out, certainly, by that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the road to the bottom falling out.
Now, how did you get involved in WCW, like, at such a young age?
I was a talk radio host when I was 15 in Detroit, and at the time, wrestling was really cold. It wasn't, nobody was watching. So I was one of the only guys that would promote the shows and have guys on, and I was always a fan, even through the bad period, and got to know a bunch of the people from actually both companies at the time, but a guy named Zane Bresloff, who is in a lot of ways really kind of one of the great unheralded power players in the history of both wrestling booms in the 80s and 90s, took a liking to me, put me on Eric Bischoff's radar. I think we met at a event they did in Detroit for Halloween Havoc, and it was just one of those things where I kept the relationship, and about a year after my show got canceled, frankly, I was going through a year of, like, really deep depression. I peaked at 16. My life is over. I got a random call one day, basically asking me to come down to Atlanta. In fact, they had to fly my mom down with me because I was too young to fly down by myself.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was wild. It was a great experience.
How did everybody treat you? You know, like this teenager here is working for.
I was treated great. I have to say, I mean, for as much negative stuff as you hear, I was treated fantastically. I was never hazed. I was treated like one of the boys. I became fast friends with really all sorts of groups from Hall and Nash and X-Pac down to Jericho and Benoit and Eddie and you know, I was treated like one of the boys. For as much negative as you hear. I could not have been treated better, and as I said, I've made friends there that have remained friends of mine through the rest of my life. And you know, if and when I get married, there will be guys from WCW at the wedding. You know, mm-hmm. These are my friends.
Right. Andy here tried calling in, but he did not have luck. He's got to learn how to use a phone. He wants to know: do you have any worries about your business model after seeing how episodic TV failed before with wrestling with Society X? Wrestling Society X,
no.
Lucha Libre USA.
No, they're two totally different things, I think, first of all. Second, driven mostly by distribution model. So the biggest difference is I don't have MTV2 to give me notes. I don't have MTV2 to say we're going to cancel you. I said all along I may only do one season. I'd like to do more. I've had a great time doing it. But the fact of the matter is I got my distribution. So for something that started as a ranting thing on Twitter, as my view, I'm kind of one. So it's now it's just, I hope people like it. If they don't like it, it's okay. I still, the check clears either way. And ideally I get to do more. And if not, I can, again, I'm a believer you got to be the man in the arena at the end of the day. And you may win, you may lose, you may succeed, you may fail. You're better off finding that out. And then, you know, than sitting on the sidelines basically and not trying at all. I just was at a point where as a fan, I was just so frustrated and just kind of sick of it that it was like, look, all right, if we're going to have this sort of existential debate about the business, I may as well put my money where my mouth is and go put my time behind it.
Mm. Now,
I'm not particularly concerned. It'll be what it is.
Mm. I noticed one of the characters is a father character. I'm just wondering someone's a Catholic, like an intro here, are they going to be offended by this character?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think when you see what his motivation, and it's not even remotely religious.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not interested in doing stuff like that.
Now, I'm a big fan of Never Sleep Again. The documentary thing is just awesome. And I know it's not, this isn't a horror movie show, but I had to bring this up. Because I know you produced Freddy vs. Jason, and there was something that came up on that documentary I thought was really interesting. I just want to know if you had any thoughts on about the proposed idea of Jason Voorhees being a molested child of Freddy Krueger.
That was in a bunch of the old scripts. There was in a couple of them, not all of them, but that was experimented with. Yeah, remember, that project was in development for 10 years. I read the first draft of it when I was a freshman in high school. I bought it for $10 at the Motor City Comic Con in Detroit. So it had a couple scripts that had it. By the time I got there, that was pretty much out. I think one of the scripts had Freddie as a camp counselor at Crystal Lake, if I remember correctly. But by the time I got there, you had already gone through the sort of Scream phase or post-Scream success. Some of you had all these self-referential Freddy vs. Jason scripts. But most of that sort of stuff was out by the time I got to New Line.
I personally like the idea. I know Intra and I always disagree on it, but I kind of like it. I think.
Well,
it's
you can pretend it happens if it makes you feel any better. I will let you have that.
All right.
Between us, you can have it.
All right. Did you like the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street?
You know, I haven't even seen it. I have friends that worked on it, and I didn't have a chance to see it yet. Frankly, it was a project that I killed and delayed for many years when I was at New Line because I didn't see what the point was of doing it. I was just sort of like, for the cost of what you're going to pay, go make a Robert Englund one for half the money. You'll make a nice return. My friends that worked on it didn't sound like they had the greatest time. I'll see it eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just kind of a depressing film. It's not.
Yeah, I just never saw what the point was personally. But that's not my decision.
Yeah.
See, Jack, the more that Freddie molests people, it makes it depressing.
Shockingly, molestation is not the most uplifting piece of subject matter.
I just want to see him hit people with buses and start laughing. And it's good stuff.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I can't talk about the humor or lack thereof or any of that sort of stuff. But that's the fact is, you live in a business now or in a world where, in terms of these businesses, these things are brands. And they will continue to be updated and recycled because it's harder and harder to make original movies relative to what you got to go through financially in the current marketplace.
Now, is there any other wrestlers you've seen that, if you come back for season two, that you'd like to bring in for season two, or would you like to stick
on the
roster?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, sure. I mean, look, there were guys I wanted very badly to have a Japanese guy that was actually presented as a joke or a stereotype because, I mean, I look back at, God, what great Muda was when I was a kid, who was the most spectacular thing I had seen. And so if I'd had my brothers, I would have loved to have had a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura or someone like that. There were characters that had casting didn't work out, so I rewrote them into other things. I just tried to take a real film development sort of point of view to it. But no question. I'm a student of the business, I like to think, so I'm not naive how this works. There's just no way. Even if I did it next year, a season two, then I would probably be able to get everybody back, either because of international commitments or guy signs with WWE or whatever the reasoning. So I had to create a model that could survive losing all 20 of my guys if I had to, and so that's really what I went out to try to go do.
Mm. Well, why do you think it is in the WWE that the Japanese guys always end up like a man-child, or they just like this.
Well, I mean, let me ask you a question. Why do you think every character they bring in is the most base, stereotypical version of that character? that would suggest there's a mentality at the top, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, even guys they bring in, originally they might push them as, like a serious guy, but it always ends up the same way.
Well, I just remember, what was it, Kenzo Suzuki, when he came in, was originally to be called Hirohito. And so that's all you need to know. There's a role that's got a great history in wrestling. I understand, again, you're 65. You're not going to change the way you do your business. I'm just personally not particularly interested in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't begrudge any fans that are. They have every right to do that. There'll be people that see what I do, and they'll go, oh, that sucks. That's awful. That's your right as a consumer. Doesn't bother me.
No, I know you're not going to give away how the title's different, but is there one title or do you have multiple titles?
No, just one. There's no. Again, you got to remember, in a single season, how would I have time to get over multiple? I think there are too many titles as it is right now anyway.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So, less is more.
Mm. I just thought maybe you'd have a tag team or something besides that.
No, the why tag teams are there. Again, the whole thing's like looking at it like an origin story, so there's a rationale into why there will be a growth of tag teams going forward built into it. But no, not this time.
That's interesting. Are you going to show, you said origin story, will you have like the backstory of each of the characters on the show itself?
Not quite like that, but it's basically setting the status quo of a universe. If the idea is that it's a totally disparate, separate universe from the chronology that says, well, first you had territories, then you had the Monday Night War, then you had this, da da da. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. I'm cutting the cord. So in my world, you know, I'll give you Chris Hero as an example. So Chris Hero goes to WWE, say he's there for 5 years, and then he leaves. His character in my universe can always come back, and I can always, you know, where he spent the 5 years relative to my universe was not WWE. I'm going to get to go and play with that and have fun with it. I fully recognize there are going to be fans that won't like that. I also think there will probably be fans that are ready for it. So we're going to find that out.
Mm-hmm. When will we be able to see the first episode?
Well, I had a conference call last week. We're basically backing into release dates now. You're going to have a couple things also that will spin off of this that I think I don't want to spoil that will be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sort of see, like, it's a separately functioning wrestling universe in every sense of it. And so I may pop up even in places that might surprise you, but still disconnected from, you know, I put it this way, the minute, like, I'm a fan of Chikara. I think Quackenbush is a great guy, and I like what they do. But I think the minute you bring in X-Pac, who's a friend, so I'll just use him as an example, well, you're automatically, okay, now that you're chronology, your narrative is tied to a narrative where WWE is the biggest thing in town, and we're going to bring in this guy who used to be the 1-2-3 kid. We're going to acknowledge all of that. I just don't want to do that. It's just a personal choice thing. It's what I like to do creatively with what we're doing. So, it's one of those things where I want to try to take that practice and apply it in some ways that have not maybe necessarily been applied. Because, again, everything, it's like, I feel bad. I've never met the guy, and I keep using him as the example. It's not personal. But it's like, you know, when Eugene gets fired and now he's U-Gene, like, I just don't want to do that. I don't see what the point of that is. I get why for indie bookings it's good for him, just not what I want to do creatively. And so all the conversations we've had in terms of dating, even some of the tie-in stuff and all that, have been with that in mind. And again, the fact of the matter is, if my executive wasn't a wrestling fan, I'd have a much harder time. But that's why I called him. I knew he was a fan.
Yeah. I think he's actually an evil doctor in Rinka King, Eugene.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen
it. I saw the first. I quite liked it. Again, that's like watching Old School Japan.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I have friends in all these companies, so I want them all to do well. My own sort of, like, I don't read the same amount of comics I used to read, even, you know, three years ago. I'm just sort of getting older. It's, my interests have changed. So I certainly don't begrudge anybody that loves everything they see.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't want to bring up to you, Chikara has the best DVD covers I've ever seen.
Well, I just enjoy, again, I think he's a very nice guy, so I root for them to do well.
Yeah. Again, it's WrestlingRetributionProject.com, and you go there for all the new updates and whatnot. And, anything you'd want to tell everybody out there before I let you go?
No, just follow us on Twitter, at the WR Project, or I'm at Cats Money, KATZ, and I'm usually pretty easy to interact with on there, so if you have questions, feel free to shoot me a line.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on, man.
My pleasure, and enjoy Helms. I talked to him earlier. I'm sure he'll be in a spirited mood.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Enjoy.
Hey, thanks for listening. If your ears are plugged with earbags, then you would know that this is Colt Cabana coming up with Chicago, Illinois. And not only am I listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, but I am on their website, and I am making fake posts under the name Skippy McGee. So if you see Skippy McGee, don't think it's me.
All right, we have returned, and joining us on the line, we have the Hurricane, Shane Helms. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Yeah. I know you had a pretty bad accident. Everything better for you now?
Everything's getting better. You know, as the healing process is, you know, you can't make it go any faster than it's going to go. You know, if I could speed it up, I definitely would, because I'm anxious to get back in the ring and get back to, you know, living life the way I did. But like I said, you can't speed it up. So I'm just rehabbing, taking it one day at a time, and, you know, trying to keep a positive outlook on things.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I want to let everybody know that you're going to be appearing for Remix Pro Wrestling, and that's coming up on the – I have the date right here, so I'm just going to talk like wasting time here. March 4th. And
yeah,
that is Marietta, Ohio. And we have all the information right on the website. And, of course, you can check out RemixProWrestling.com. Now, a meet and greet. You can come and talk to Hurricane, get your picture, get your autograph. And you're just going to be keeping an eye out on the show?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's probably some villains going to be at that show. So I'll probably have to keep my eye out on them. But, yeah, I'm mainly there for the meet and greet. I believe it starts at 5 before the show. So, you know, just encouraging everybody to come out early, and I'm pretty sure there'll be a couple of the other guys on the roster there that will be there for the meet and greet as well. I'm not positive, but I would assume that.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, either way, you know, I'll have you can take pictures with me. I should have my new Vertebraker T-shirts by that time. So, but you're going to be the you know, if anybody's ever been a fan of my T-shirts, which I designed all the ones from WWE, every T-shirt I had there, I designed myself. And if you've been a fan of those, this is the best T-shirt I've ever had, and it'll be pretty cool. Especially, you know, I'm guessing you like the Vertebraker since the shirt's gonna be awesome.
I was trying to get it to the intro here before the show, so we get an intro. Maybe on the archive we'll have it. But yeah, I was a big fan of the Vertebraker. I like the song too. The song, the move, everything.
Yeah, it was definitely an innovative thing at the time. You know, it definitely made it famous. A couple other people have going to use it since I wasn't allowed to use it in the WWE, and you know, that's definitely cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I made the move famous, and the name is great. I can't imagine why anybody would change that name.
Yeah,
because the name was perfect for that maneuver. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching one of your videos where you're talking about the Canyon book and how you guys would kind of compete about innovating different moves, and was there any moves that he ever did that you like, man, I wish I would have come up with that instead of him?
Oh, yeah, like I know he would do that over the shoulder backbreaker into the he'd flip the guy into a sit out, like a he would flip the guy forward and kind of sit out to an X factor type position. I always thought that was really cool. Canyon just had a ton of stuff that he came up with. Such an innovative guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always had not like a competition where we were keeping score, but you know, he was the innovative offense, you know, and even before that time, I was the sensation of innovation because that was kind of my thing on the Indies, just to come up with new shit. I don't know if I could say.
Yeah, you can. That's cool.
So like the Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, something that I created, that the Top Spin Facebuster, and you know, a handful of moves that I actually introduced to the business, and I think it's pretty cool, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah. Was that hard to when you go to WWE and you're not allowed to do certain moves?
You know, I definitely wanted to do the Vertebraker, you know, but I also knew that there was only a handful of guys I could even do it to, you know. I was constantly in the ring with such bigger guys, you know. It wasn't like I was ever going to, you know, put the Big Show in the Vertebraker, you know.
Right.
And,
it'd be pretty impressive
thing,
if
you
did, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if I got underneath him at all, that would be the end of me, yeah. I would have liked to have the option, and I still did it a couple of times, but I know, you know, too, like, that there was a string of, neck breaks, and, you know, ironically enough, I was one of those later on in my career, but at that time, you know, when I came in, you know, Benoit had hurt his neck, Lita had hurt hers, of course, Steve Austin, you know, it was just kind of a couple back-to-back, and they were really worried about guys landing on their head, and, I mean, I had full confidence that I could do it without, you know, seriously injuring somebody, mm-hmm. but, I could understand their point of view, and you know, at the end of the day, they're the boss, so you got to kind of do what you say.
Yeah,
I did have like the only move in like the last 20 years to be banned from the WWE, so I don't know if that's an accolade or not, but there it is.
You should mention that whenever you do it.
Well, that's the new shirt. The new shirt says the new shirt is has a picture of me doing the vertebrae on the front, but it's a artistic graphic drawn by Jill Thompson. She's a Eisner award-winning artist.
Mm-hmm.
She actually designs Daniel Bryan's gear and his jackets and everything. She's a friend of mine and a really tremendous artist. So she did the picture, and it says NSFW, which means, you know, of course, for internet terms, means not safe for work.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the back, it says Vertebraker, not safe for wrestling.
Well, that's too dangerous, guys, because, you know, he was choking people with the necktie on Raw.
That's pretty hard to pull off, too. So.
Uh-huh.
You know,
nope.
Colombian necktie, I guess.
James, he's been calling in all day trying to talk to you. James, I hope you have a good question.
Yes, I do. What happened to your tag team partner when you did the superhero and train with you and Rosie?
What happened to him?
Yeah.
As far as I know, he still lives in Cincinnati. You know, he's from the Samoan family, so I'm pretty sure he's still wrestling. I hear from him time to time. And actually, right before I got hurt, I think we actually had a couple bookings where we were going to team back up again, and I hope to team with him in the future. But I don't know how much wrestling he's doing anymore. But he's still out there, still a good friend. We actually went through a UFC together about a year and a half ago. He's still a good friend of mine.
That's cool. Thanks, James. This one's coming in from our buddy DJ Ran. I hope he doesn't get in trouble. I don't know. He said, memories of the Sugar Babies, Chiquita and Chameleon.
Oh, yeah. they bring back good memories. I was hoping, you know, when I came to WWE, of course, I was Sugar Shane. I was kind of hoping they'd bring the girls along. But they decided not to sign them. And I don't know what their contracts were or whatever. I don't know the reason behind not bringing them in, but I was really hoping it was definitely a cool entrance for those girls.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like what the Funkasaurus guy is doing now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He ripped both you and Ernest Cat Miller off. Hit the double.
Well, I don't know if that was his choice. You do what you're told, and it is what it is. I heard that gimmick's on hold right now. I don't understand why people get behind it, but, I will.
It is strange. It was edited off SmackDown, and then he's been off for all the last few weeks.
Yeah, who knows?
He also wanted me to ask you this. How different did it feel to go to smaller venues that weren't packed? This was the last few months of WCW, and how did they go about making it look so big on TV?
It was definitely different, but they just move most of the crowd to the one side. You know, the side where the hard cameras on were pretty empty, and that was mainly just due to promotion. You know, they cut the promotion budget, and it doesn't matter who you got on the card. If nobody knows you're in town, then nobody comes. You know, that's marketing 101. That's promotion 101. And at that point, there's nothing you can really do as a performer. You know, Scott Hall said something really good in the locker room one time, and it stuck with me. You know, he's like, there you go. He goes, the promoter's job is to get them here. I entertain them once they're here. he had a valid point. We would just entertain the people once they're there, but it's the company's job to let the people know we're coming. If they don't know, you could have the return of Elvis Presley, but if nobody knows he's going to be there, then it ain't going to matter.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were your thoughts on Scott Hall? What was he like behind the scenes?
He was always cool to me. I never, wasn't like we were like hanging out buddies or anything like that, Especially, I didn't drink it at the time or did anything like that, so I kind of stayed away from the bar scene. I was just more interested in the girls at the time, After the show, I wasn't really interested in hanging out with the boys too much. that was never my thing, but anytime, he was always cool, funny guy, respectful, I hate to see, the trials he's going through, and I hate to see anybody go through anything like that, but, sometimes, the demons get you, and that's just,
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I've been able to avoid that, but a lot of people don't, and not just in this business. And I know a lot of people try to associate it with wrestling, but it's a worldwide thing. A lot of people get caught up in that trap.
Mm-hmm. We've had him on the show a few times. He's always a really nice guy to us. Did you have a question from the board?
Yeah, I had a question from Kevin off of your Facebook. He wants to know if Highway to Helms will be returning.
Yeah, it is. The guy that was my co-host, Champagne, actually got involved in like a couple of business ventures, and his time's really limited. So what I'm looking for now is I'm kind of going through a process of selecting a new co-host because I want to have, I'm still going to have a different guest every week, but I want to have that one co-host that's there with me because especially toward the end, me and Champagne kind of had really, a repertoire going together where we really kind of fed off each other and it was getting really good. And I'm not going to say it was professional. It wasn't a Jimmy Fallon level or anything like that, but we were getting it down, and we were doing good numbers. We had, in 4 months, we had 600,000 downloads on iTunes, and so, once you start getting emails from iTunes talking about how good you are, you're starting to do something. and we're starting to get sponsors in that were paying for, you know, the equipment I got, you know, they pay for that, and it was really starting to pick up, so it's something I definitely want to get out there. You know, fans obviously like to hear my point of view about certain things, but, you know, anytime I do, like, commentary during Raw, you know, on Monday nights, I kind of get on Twitter and do a little commentary during the show. You know, the feedback I get for that is just always, you know, pretty positive, and people like to hear my thoughts. So, and I wasn't just about wrestling. I've been a heavy MMA buff, you know, since the beginning of UFC, and I've, you know, so it's that, you know, and just pretty much anything now, you know, I'd probably be talking about Jeremy Lin right now if I was doing my show right now. You know, that's the hottest girl in sports right now. So I just kind of, you know, kept the hot topics, and, you know, it was a fun show, you know, so people liked it a lot. You know, I hope to get it going back soon, but like I said, right now I'm looking for a new co-host.
Don't be stealing the intro.
Don't be what?
No, I was saying, don't be stealing my one inch biceps here.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm pretty worthless. But anyways, there's another question on the message board, but it brought a question into my mind. Where's Evan Courageous? What happened to that guy?
You know, I'm not sure. I believe he still lives in Charlotte, as far as I know. You know, I didn't know Evan before WCW, and we didn't really stay in touch after. You know, he never came up to WWE, not to the main roster. I know he did the, I forget what it was even called. It was not OVW, but there was another one in Cincinnati, HWA maybe.
Yeah, Heartland. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he did that I think he did that for a little while, and then I don't know if he, like, Astro was released or was just not resigned or what happened. But I mean, we worked together, and we were buddies and stuff like that, but it's just not one of those friendships that just kind of, for whatever reason, you know, for no reason, just, you know, if I saw him, it'd be cool, but I just don't know anything. Well, what is that going on?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Charlotte, any chance of you coming to the Fan Fest?
The one in August, yeah, actually, we are talking about that. I know the guy that runs it pretty well, and he's already asked me about it. I'm getting my schedule together, you know. Schedule's actually getting pretty packed right now. So, you know, I just tweeted about that today, and I'm really happy with all the love that the business is still showing me. And, you know, I'm actually turning down dates now. So that's always good. It's always better to have to do that than to not have to do that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, and for the first time ever, I'm going to get into the comic book convention. I know the world, you know, a lot of those places have asked me, you know, for years to come. For years, I've just been busy and just have never been able to make it. Mm-hmm. I was able to do the San Diego Comic Con one year, and that was a big thrill because I'm a huge, you know, comic fan, of course. But so now I'm gonna start making some of the Comic Cons and doing like a lot of that. Especially, I'm gonna do those more, you know, until I get like 100% healthy.
Yeah, I want to bring this up because it kind of always seemed like it just kind of happened by like accident. Was Austin was kind of making fun of you for the tattoo, and then like the hurricane kind of came out of that. Was that like all planned, or was that just something, you know, that just happened on
your
knee and just kept going with it?
Yeah, it wasn't planned that way at all. And actually, you know, I'm still buddies with Steve, and we were actually talking about this a couple weeks ago. He called and was just, you know, being Steve, being funny. And I had recently just, right before that phone call, a day or two, I'd read an interview that he'd done. He was talking about guys doing promos, how they're better if they're not scripted. You know, in WWE right now, they just kind of write out what the guys say, and you could tell it's just not real. You know, these guys, I mean, they're not actors. They're, you know, they're sports entertainers, and there's a degree of acting to it, but it's hard to go out there and just deliver a script, especially if it's something you don't really believe in. Mm-hmm. This past Monday was a good example. Sean and Hunter could go out there, and they're allowed to say whatever they want. You know, so that's how they're able to channel that emotion. I mean, I'm sure there are bullet points to kind of what they want to get around, but those guys, I guarantee you, they did not sit in the back and practice that promo for an hour. They probably didn't practice it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and it comes from the heart, and that comes through. And, you know, and that's how it used to be. And I you know, like I said, that, well, like you were saying, that first promo I did with Steve Austin, you know, I mean, I had the jitters, you know, I didn't know what I was going to say because I didn't know what he was going to say. And he's Steve Austin, he can say whatever the hell he wants.
Right.
And I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to have to reply as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I had the jitters. I didn't know what I was going to say. That's all I said. Yeah, he might ask you this. He might ask you that. And that's all I was told. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, and he started talking about my tattoo. And for whatever reason, I started talking about the Green Lantern like it was a real person.
Uh-huh.
You know, Deborah started laughing. You know, Steve sells her laughing. Then he looks at me, and I'm like, what? You know, what's up? You know, I don't think I said what's up with that yet. But I'm just like, what's up, you know, whatever. And it just kind of snowballed out of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know obviously you're biased, but do you think WWE ever got behind you in the Hurricane character like as much as popular as it was, as much as they should have?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, probably anybody could say that, you know.
Yeah.
Probably anybody, they could have done it a little bit better. But, you know, there were certain people that they weren't going to get behind a common gimmick, you know, no matter what, and it didn't matter. You know, I mean, at one time I was the number three merchandise guy in the company, which also means in the world. You know, you had Rock, Austin, and then you had me. So nobody's going to beat those other two. So you can kind of just take them out of the equation. So they were the top two. You know, so for me to be right up there with them, you know, and you would see a flood of green T-shirts everywhere, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, when you see stuff like that, you really got to take advantage of it. And I think they did to a degree, but there was definitely a lot more they could have done. But just like I said, some guys, they were just so stuck behind the comedy aspect of the character that they couldn't visualize me ever being serious, you know. And obviously, there were times when I did get serious, and it did work, and it worked really well. But, you know, when, you know, the guys in charge and, you know, some of the guys with the pencil are the ones telling the shot, and at the end of the day, you know, you can't win that battle sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that could be a problem for a Zack Ryder, someone that might just be stuck in more of a comedy role and never get, like, to the top if they don't make them add some serious stuff to them?
Well, it's more like I would put more Santino than Zack. I could actually see Zack, especially
yeah.
with his girlfriend getting stolen money. I could see him getting a little
uh-huh.
more serious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like a Santino, you know. No matter what, Santino's going to be Santino, you know.
Yeah. I think at one time he could have been at least they should have tried, like, as a top guy. I don't know if it would have worked or not, but he was as over as anybody on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and definitely, you know, I mean, like, you know, I said, when I beat The Rock in the main event of Raw, like, right there, I'm in that top position. And not only did I go out there and do it, I performed it, the people bought it, and it got over like crazy. So, I mean, I definitely proved myself and proved I belonged and proved I could, you know, perform in that scenario. So, it was just a matter of, like, let's run with it or not,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I remember going to live shows, and, I mean, you'd see tons of the capes and the shirts, and, like you said, you'd see green stuff everywhere. But
yeah.
Now, I don't want to ask all these questions because there's, like, a million of them, but there's so many three-count questions. Are you ever surprised that, like, three counts, like, so remembered, like, people love it so much still today?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm just wondering where these people were at when we were three. But you know what? There was a brief moment in time when I was the Hurricane and I was on SmackDown. It was before I went to Raw and became tag team champ with Kane. It was before that, and I was teaming with Shannon Moore on SmackDown a lot. Mm-hmm. And people would chant three count, especially at the house shows. People would chant three count every night. And so I would make Shannon get in there and dance. I'm like, half the time Shannon wouldn't do it, you know, but I kind of had seniority. And I'd be like, get in here. And we'd start doing the dance, and they would pop every night. And
uh-huh.
actually, you know, still like on some of the indie shows I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I was just watching the tape. I think it was that Northeast Wrestling is a real good indie group up in New York, that area. And I'm sitting there doing something, and somebody says some three count. I just break out and come stick a little dance. And I'd actually forgot about it, and they just sent me the DVDs. I was like, look at this nonsense.
Well, great price if you're listening. Maybe a three count reunion photo op could do well.
Evan lives in Charlotte.
That's right.
Yeah, that might actually work. It'd be fun. Those guys couldn't remember the dance back then, though, so I'm almost certain that they can't do it now.
Real quick, what was Tank Abbott like to work with?
He was always cool. He was just a maniac, you know. It was funny, but you just, like, at any minute, you just had to keep in mind that he might snap. So that's just what you were dealing with.
Well, everybody know it's Remix Pro Wrestling. It's come up March 4th, and it's in Marietta, Ohio. And you check out all the information at Remix Pro Wrestling. Come out, see the Hurricane, get your photo with them, and talk to them, man. He's a good dude. Well, thank you for coming on tonight.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure, man. And you guys going to be able to make the show?
I will be at the fan. We'll be at the Fan Fest, but I would like to be at the Remix Pro Wrestling. We're plugging them all the time, but I'm in Massachusetts, a little far.
I mean, you can. Hey, man, I'm in North Carolina. You can make it.
All right.
just put on your cape and fly.
Oh, now we're talking.
All right, cool guys. Thanks for having me, man. And send me an email. We'll do it again sometime.
Oh, okay, excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the very unpredictable Matt Hardy, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Be prepared, because like Matt Hardy, In Your Head is very unpredictable.
All right, we have returned here to In Your Head. Good times, good times. I like this stuff.
Two good interviews, Jack. I thoroughly enjoyed them both.
I did too. I liked them. I didn't know. I you thought I was trying to attack the man, but I wasn't trying to attack
No. It sounded a little like you're on the defensive. You're like, how's that any different?
Yeah. Well, what I was really going for was, I think some people might read that and think that this is like entirely different than, maybe they're not going to like it because it's like not what wrestling should be. But I really think that the concept is a lot like, just like what basic wrestling should be. It's just like these guys are fighting for a reason, you know, and you're not adding a bunch of, you know, craziness. That's all I meant.
I hear you.
So I didn't want people scared off who are wrestling fans and thinking, you know, this is something just preposterous. You see what I'm saying?
I'm down.
Mm-hmm. And the Hurricane, Shane Helms, a lot of fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a fan of his. I really liked him in Three Count. I liked him in Sugar, Shane Helms. Really liked him as the Hurricane. And so I was happy to get him on here. Looks like we'll probably have him on again sometime.
Oh, most definitely. Really enjoyed his interview.
Yeah. And here next week, sure will be the return of Sean Oliver. No, that'll be two weeks from today. Next week is actually going to be Hannibal.
Ah.
And that is the man who put out the documentary Don't Bleed on Me, which follows the end of his dream. He dreamt about becoming a wrestler for the WWE, and then it was ended because he contacted hepatitis C, and he believes it was from Abdul the Butcher cutting him with the same blade that he cut himself with.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be a very controversial interview, Incher.
Sounds like it could be. But
then Sean Oliver. Also, breaking news here, Incher. You want to hear who else is coming on the show?
We got breaking news of who's coming on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Who could it be?
This is old school. This is classic old school wrestling. One of the original Masked Men, the Destroyer, Dick Beyer, will be on the show.
Excellent. Good work, Jack.
This guy's wrestling back in the 60s, like Ricky Dozan. I mean, you just hear that name. Have you ever really seen the guy? And this is, man, he was wrestling him back in Japan.
Excellent.
Good stuff. You know, it's cool. Like, we've been doing the show for a long time, and we've interviewed a lot of people, but get a voicemail, and it's like, this is the intelligent, sensational Destroyer. And I was like, you know, this is pretty cool.
I leave you stupid voicemails all the time, and you're just like, ah, screw that guy.
You never call me anymore.
I call you, you never call back.
When's the last time you called me?
It's been a few months, but did you return the call?
Probably.
I'm not putting myself out there just to get turned down, baby. The intro plays to win, understand?
Thank God. And then we'll be taking a week off in early March because it'll be at the Days of the Dead.
Deadly Days.
In Atlanta, Georgia. They'll be out there if you're in the Atlanta area when it come out. Roddy Piper's going to be there if you're a wrestling fan, plus all kinds of horror guests. It'll be good stuff. DaysOfTheDead.net.
Excellent.
All right, Incher.
All right, Jack. It's time to talk some wrestling. You like talking the wrestling?
I do like talking the wrestling.
I bet you're up and celebrating like nobody's business when Against All Odds came on and your favorite guy came out and he was injured.
Jesse Thorson. I say this. Like, I've been really negative on the guy. I'm not going to sugarcoat. I do not like him. Not a fan of him. I don't think he's good in any way. But people are like, oh, hell yeah, Jack, I bet you're excited. This guy, like, broke his back. He's like, broke his vertebrae. I don't want to see anybody, have a broken back just because I don't like him on my wrestling program. I'm, a psychopath or anything. I don't want this. I mean, I hope he never comes back to wrestling, but not because of an injury. I hope he heals up and he's like, you know what? I ain't doing that anymore. I'm going to go on and become a doctor. I'm going to go and become a teacher. I'm going to go and sell these footballs at the flea market. Whatever the guy wants to do, I hope he's happy and he lives a long, productive life just away from wrestling. I don't want to see guys in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. I'm not crazy. I'm not an ass.
Yeah. That would be pretty rough if you did feel that way. But Jesse Sorensen, he was wrestling a Zema Ion. Zema Ion did a jumping kind of knee thing to the head.
It was like a moonsault.
I guess he was, but he couldn't quite get open or something, or I don't know.
Don't look like he caught him very well. It just kind of looked like he just stood there and just caught him with his head.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's pretty rough that the man came out, and then I saw him hand the football to the kid, and then Zema Ion took it away from the kid. Did the kid ever get the football back?
I don't know. You know what? But the guy, I could see if he was doing a college gimmick, he's a college football player, but... Well, why is he a high school football player? Well, that just mean he's very good? He didn't go on to become, a college football? He didn't go to the pros?
Yeah. That's pretty lame. I think he's from Texas, so... And I think it's kind of... High school football is a big deal out there, but...
Yeah.
It's a big deal anywhere you're at, but really, what? I mean... Who really cares that much about high school football?
This is a few things I would bring up about this. One thing that I used to tag the guy for was, I would exaggerate how much I dislike the guy, but I would say he almost looked like he's an untrained wrestler out there.
Hmm.
He would botch running the ropes, and he would botch all this stuff, and then here he gets injured in the ring because he doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't catch a guy. I mean, there's reasons, not just, you're watching it and you shouldn't have a guy out there that's not that great, but for safety reasons, you shouldn't have people out there wrestling who aren't trained properly. And this is what happened. It's too bad.
I'm not saying whose fault it is, because it looked like Zema came down pretty awkwardly. I don't know if, maybe he wasn't in the right spot or what, but I'm not sure whose fault it was, but I don't know. It's unfortunate he got injured like that, but...
Oh, yeah. Injuries happen, too bad. Another thing I do want to bring up was a lot of people on the message board were saying how this was just there was no reason to do the spot and all stuff. And, I mean, honestly, was that any, crazier than anything you see just normally in any cruiserweight match in, the last 20 years?
No. I mean, it wasn't
It was a pretty basic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people doing dives outside the ring all the time.
I mean, any of these moves are high-risk moves. You can get injured on anything. I mean, didn't Triple H tore his quad on, just doing a roll-up or something?
Yeah, it's a standing up.
Yeah.
So. Vince McMahon tore both his rolling in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think RVD hurt himself in ECW just running the ropes. So anything can happen. It's too bad, but I hope he's all right. I hope he recovers. They said that Kurt Angle... said that the doctors told him 1 year, and he said, no, 4 months. Now, is that really, advice you want to be taking? I think you probably should listen to your doctor.
He said, no, 4 months, he'll be back, or what?
Yeah, the doctor said he should recover in a year, and he told him no. And he tweeted this himself. It wasn't someone's, just made up. Kurt Angle said, no, he can come back in 4 months. Now, if you're in the hospital with a broken neck, would you listen to the doctors, or would you look up at a crazy-eyed Kurt Angle and say, you know what, this is the guy I'm taking the advice of?
Well, I mean, Kurt has been injured a lot, and he's returned, and pretty quickly, so, and he survived it, but then again, I mean, Kurt has some problems, so I don't know, you might not want to listen to Kurt.
Yeah.
Maybe you better follow the doctor's advice. But I don't know. I think everybody's different. Everybody heals differently. So you know, he's a fairly young kid in pretty good health. Maybe, you know, he'll come back, you know, quicker, but who knows? Hopefully, I heard he was moving his arms and stuff, so that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Moving his legs and arms, so, you know, I guess he's not going to be crippled, but it's going to be a hard recovery.
Yeah, he should just stick to another profession.
That's still pretty rough, dude.
Why?
I mean, if he has a passion to do this, I mean, and you're just like, just go do something else. Could you imagine the poor guy sitting on his hospital bed?
He's like, you know what? I mean, the guy has a passion. He's only been wrestling like a couple weeks, and he's got a broken back. Maybe he should go do something else. That's all I'm saying. There might be some personal, you know, I don't enjoy seeing the man out there, but I don't want to see him laying in the bed. I don't want to see him in a wheelchair. There's other stuff he could do. You don't have to be on my TV.
I don't know. Yes, he might have potential in the future. Maybe it'll tell him to go back to training. You know, and he can train and come back, you know. I mean,
I felt really bad watching this pay-per-view because it started and JB was there, and I was like, yes, Taz is off the show. And then they announced, like, you know, Death in the Family, and I was like, oh, man, I feel like an asshole.
Well, I want to know, what the hell's the matter with Don West? Does he work for the company anymore?
Yeah, I like JB. I thought JB did a good job, but I think, wouldn't that be something if it was Don West and JB together? That would be something.
What would happen to Danae? Like, some bookie picks him up and it's time to collect on his deeds.
Aren't you kind of sick of Danae, too?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Don West, JB. I think that would be a hell of a combo.
Yeah, I mean, Don West is your crazy guy, and JB, he's kind of a straight, you know, man.
Yeah,
so.
But just picture this intro. Don West, he's standing up, he's doing a hard sell, he's going crazy, and JB's there with his with the buggy eyes, and they're shifting all around, you know what's on the... Wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah,
old shifty-eyed JB, and then Madman Don West. That'd be awesome.
I like it when Jeff Jarrett comes out and grabs Tanae, though. It's always enjoyable.
We can go to
Tanae always looks so pissed.
Send him, ship him out to India. You can do that on Rinky King. That's where Jeff Jarrett is right now. He could do Rinky King in English. He could be their version of R.L. Santo.
Excellent.
Alright. I gotta say, too, the pre-show to Against All Odds had one of the best promos I've ever heard by Bully Ray. And he pulled out the line that he called himself Cavzilla. And I just stood up and saluted Bully Ray. That, he is the man.
Yeah, Cavzilla. I think he knows how lame that's gotta sound.
That's why he does. He is so awesome. He's just this great heel. He's like, I know this is just getting under everyone's skin.
I've actually had people do that to me, though. They'd be like, look at my calves, man. I'm like, oh my god. I want to admire your fucking calves.
I'm going to do that to you at the fan first.
You've got some pretty nice calves. I'll give you that.
I do. They're pretty big.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. I won't. I notice you do have, like, a vein popping out of one of them.
Mm.
I think you've been juicing in those calves, boy.
Just imagine if I'd wrap those around your neck.
I don't want to imagine that at all. It's high time I get my own room.
They say that your calves are something like you just either have big ones or you don't. Like, you can't really build them up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's always had those, like, raging calves. So I don't know how true this is.
I know I went to a WWE event with my buddy Mike, and he's not really a wrestling fan. I think he's just going along, so I wasn't alone.
Mm-hmm.
But he screamed at Bully Ray, or what he was known by at the time, D-Von, or not D-Von. What the hell was his name?
He's Bubba Ray.
Bubba Ray. And he screamed at him. He said, "You sure got small legs for a fat man." So,
oh, man.
So there's proof.
That stuck to him.
Yeah, I know. So he didn't exactly have those calves. So we call bullshit on that. Myth has been busted.
Mythbusters are out. All right. Let's see. What else? After we had the Jesse Sorensen match, I know we've gone over this a lot. Robbie E. and Shannon Moore.
That was a pretty fun match. I always like seeing Robbie E. out there.
I like Robbie. I think it was kind of a letdown. It was like a surprise. Like, I don't think anyone was really, like, popping as Shannon Moore came up.
I kind of like that tune. It gets a reaction out of me.
Really? I didn't even know who it was.
I thought it might have been the old boy that they fired, but then I knew it had to be Shannon Moore. Well, they didn't fire him. Then he just kind of quit. Jesse Neal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how that went, if they let him go or if he just quit. So.
I think it's kind of a little bit of both. Like, he's saying, I'll quit. You know, saying, we fired you. They're like, they probably just thought, like, I mean, he's out of the company, so we're winning, so let him say he quit. Who cares?
You think they said something bad about Braden Walker and just sent him off the deep end?
He's like, there ain't no dick sucking in this house, Dixie Carter. That man, Braden Walker, he's making a fortune off those DVDs. I'm out of here.
That was the last thing I saw.
How dare you hate the troops? And he just walked
away. He just says that to him. Man, I was just trying to ask the man a question, and he was like, "So you hate the troops now?" And I'm like, "What?" Never said that.
Oh, what a strange man. But, you know, the crowd kind of took the pay-per-view down a notch, because they weren't really into much. And that's just the big problem with the Impact crowd.
Yeah. I did like this show, though, overall. I enjoyed it.
I did, too. I'm just saying, now, just imagine this show in front of, like, a real hot crowd. It would have kicked it up.
It would have made it better, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. It always helps a show whenever the crowd's super into it. But they've just been spoiled down there. They've seen TNA way too much.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to react like a crowd who hasn't seen them before, you know?
Mm-hmm. This was definitely an improvement over the last few pay-per-views.
Yeah, you actually had somewhat of a payoff for the main event.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that very often with TNA, and it was something that you don't see that much, really.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go into it.
Oh, let's go. I just want to say, actually, you know, everybody thinks I hate women, but Gail Kim and Tara, I thought this was one of the best matches on the show. It's probably the best match up to that point. That was a good match. Crimson and Morgan versus Joe and Magnus. I was happy to see Joe and Magnus win the titles.
Oh, yeah.
So with Joe and England Bob.
I think they were too slow on that. They should have did it at the pay-per-view before.
Mm-hmm. Strike while the iron is cooled down. That's like the new motto in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, this guy's really over. Well, let's cool him down, then we'll put the belt on him. That is how we make the money.
It's like you had Steve Austin, and he's reaching this pinnacle in his career, and then they put him over at the King of the Ring, and that was how it should be done.
Then the big build with Tyson and all the stuff, then he wins the title. I mean, that was big time. Now it's like they build, everyone's like, yes, we love it, and then, like, they have him lose, and then, like, 2 months later, then they put the title on.
So they get their girlfriend stole from them, and then they're pushed off of the stage in a freaking wheelchair.
Let's see here. Aries Shelley, that was a great match.
Oh, yeah, that was good stuff.
I'm a big fan.
That was a really good one, yeah. I really enjoyed that bout.
Kaz and AJ, I think they had a good match, but there's just something about Kaz that I just lose interest in. Like, I think he's pretty good, but I don't know, there's just something about him. I just can't get into his matches. I thought Gunnar and Garrett was just too long.
Yeah. You got to give Eric Bischoff the Worst Dad of the Year award, though. And he was great in that role. I just liked him smiling just because, you know, Gunner's
get beat.
Kicking the shit out of his son. I mean, what a despicable human being.
I'm going against the green inch. I mentioned this on the board. I'm getting on the Garrett Bischoff bandwagon. I think this is a Hulkster. He said this guy's the future of the wrestling business. I'm agreeing with the Hulkster.
Excellent.
But they got to make him a heel, because you just see him and he's just like this ultimate douchebag. He's got these big sideburns. He's like laughing in the background of the show and coughing, and he's got a tattoo of his own name on his chest. It's like, man, this guy's just a dick. And, like, you know, his father's, like, his only reason why he's getting a big push. I think there's nothing about him that you want to cheer for.
Yeah.
He's got to be, he'd be just this ultimate heel.
I am amazed that you can really talk about the guy, what a douchebag he is, when he's holding on in the line and coughing in the background. That is amazing, Jack. Anyways. Garrett Bischoff, here's your storyline. Here's where it's going. He finally turns on Hogan, sides with his dad. Who does Hulk Hogan get to feud with Garrett Bischoff? None other than Nick Hogan.
Holy shit.
How about that? Wouldn't that be a big reaction?
Nick Hogan. Do you think Nick has it to be a wrestler?
I think he's a very charismatic kid. So.
Really?
Yeah, didn't you watch Hogan Knows Best?
Yeah. Not really. I never liked it. I really like Hulk.
I think Nick was the second person on that show. You know,
really?
The second in command.
I was like, man, Hogan, he should have had Benoit like take care of his family for a weekend.
Terrible, Jack.
Well, there was the main event.
Yes, there was the main event. The four way. Sting was a special enforcer outside of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Earl Hebner was the referee.
He was. His daughter's trying to become a TNA knockout.
Yeah, that's what I was reading on our message board. It's interesting. She was like Gail Kim's sister way back when they had the match with her and Awesome Kong.
Is she Gail Kim's daughter? You think Earl was knocking boots with Gail Kim?
I'd respect him if he was. I mean, who could blame the man?
Mm-hmm.
Good going, Earl.
But, that's pretty good.
Actually, doesn't work if she's Gail Kim's sister. That doesn't work at all. That would be her daughter.
That's my daughter's sister.
So he'd be getting it on with Gail Kim's mom. That's who he'd be getting on with.
But,
can you imagine that conversation between Earl and Gail Kim's mom? It's just like, yeah, I'm the referee for your daughter's matches. It's just like, take me now, Earl. Okay.
He's a very charismatic individual.
All right, whatever.
I'm thinking about getting a pair of Zigs, though, like his son. I like those sneakers.
The blue ones?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's not some, but one of the referees in TNA there was the Ziggs. They kind of dig him.
Brian Hebner?
Is he the one? One of them wears those Ziggs, those Reebok sneakers.
The blue sneakers? Is that what you're referring to? With like
yeah,
the
yeah,
soles?
You can get different colors. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's Brian Hebner. That's his kid.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
You know what I'm about to say, dude.
What?
All right, let's do the main event, and then we got to get to the person on the line.
All right. So, main event. I didn't think this was that great of a match. I thought it was okay, but I was happy that someone actually won.
Yeah, they finally had a payoff. I kind of liked the bit that they did where Sting hit Jeff Hardy accidentally with the belt, and then Robert Roode made him count it. I mean, it's not like a solid win, because I think Robert Roode needs that at this point in his career, because he hasn't had one. But at least I hadn't seen it before. I guess Shawn Michaels kind of did a thing like that.
I like that part. I like that's fine. I just didn't think the match was, like, the greatest. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't, like, anything like, man, you really got to see this match. Which I don't think TNA's really had a match like that for a while, where, like, on pay-per-view, where you'd say, like, man, you gotta really go out of your way to see this match. Which they used to have quite a few matches like that.
Oh, yeah. Daniels and Joe versus AJ.
Mm-hmm.
That three-way they had was good stuff. That was a match you had to go out of your way to see.
Mm-hmm.
Joe and Kurt Angle, I'm gonna say it. That was a match you had to see, even though some people bitched about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was never so excited to watch another TNA show after that. And then Vince Russo came along and ruined it all.
Mm-hmm.
But the man has been ousted.
Mm-hmm.
He's either quit or something. He's gone from TNA. Praise be the name of Dixie Carter.
Man,
did he quit
this is
or did he, or what was the final verdict?
What?
Did he quit or get fired?
They never want to say. It seems like because Dixie went out there and said that it was amicable, that they split. Why is it that they, like, that's what's, like, really unsettling, is that, like, they don't just say we fire him because he's done so bad. Like, they're just kind of upset that he's gone. Like, they think he's really good.
Man. It's like the whole crowd's cheering at him. Fire Russo. And they're like, no, no. This whole crowd's wrong.
Why do they love him so much?
I have no earthly idea.
I don't understand. All right. We want to get to this guy?
Yes, because the audio is killing me.
All right. The Dark Prince, he's on the... We got the... Not Dark Prince. He's the Lone Wolf. He's on hold here. He's making a bunch of noise in the background. What is going on, my man?
Oh, sorry. Just give me a second. Yeah, honey. Yeah, wipe that snare off your lips. Yeah. Yeah, you got that little snare right there on your lips. Yeah, take care of that for me.
Not too bad, not too bad. What is on the mind of the Lone Wolf?
Guys, all I care about discussing tonight is all the recent events in TNA, if I may, please.
All right, let's hear it. Speak up.
Yeah, for starters, I've been hearing you talking about some guy, what's his name, Sorensen, that's what it is. Yeah, it's unfortunate what happened to that dude. But, you know, I heard talking about his football gimmick. You know, probably he would get over more, like, if he just basically was doing Al Bundy. You know, like a guy
who's,
like, in his 20s
and
30s.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Like a shoe salesman who's trying to relive his glory days of high school football?
Yeah. I would think that would get over so great. Even though, you know, he's like, what is he, like 25, 30?
I don't know. This guy's like, he looks like he's like 18. I don't think it would really fit for him. Like, maybe you could do a D-Von or something.
Right.
Like,
no,
D-Von,
no.
Try to relive the glory days.
No, Jack. You had the chant during the main event at TNA. D-Von's better.
Well, it was just like totally ironic. Because there's like nobody, unless you're just a total mark or like you've got like, you're just like, got some mental problems that you could honestly think that D-Von is better than Boyd.
Well, I know the crowd was just saying it to get on the man, but...
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't that be a good gimmick for him? Because, let's face it, the guy needs something. He can't just be walking there. What if he was like...
All right, I'll agree with you. The guy does need something. You're
right. If he was the guy who was trying to relive the glory days of the Dudley Boys.
Like, you could say, like, I put... three men through a table in one match, damn it.
Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet.
Well, speaking of D-Von, I haven't watched TNA consistently. Have they finally blown off that angle with him and the Pope?
Yeah, I think so. I think that his kids went back with him.
Yeah, that was the payoff to that.
I mean, seriously, I cannot think of anybody that's had like an 8-straight-month feud. You just copy half back and forth pay per view matches with the same guy. I mean, I'm just saying, thank God. Yeah, they do need to get D-Von something else now that this is over.
Do you think D-Von's kids could be like a new title? Like people beat him and they win as kids.
Ooh. Oh, I have no idea. I hope
those calling badges for Devon's kids. Do you think that would work, Incher?
Why would you want to win Devon's kids?
I don't know. Make him like clean your house, mow the lawn.
That's terrible, Jack.
What?
Maybe they can help pimp some women too out of it.
Pick your cotton, like if you get like a cotton field.
This is terrible, Jack.
That's what you
Jack.
Said, Jack, not me. Hey, I was going to say this. You know that whole match with Robbie Eve and the surprise challenger? What? Was like you said, was the Pope or Rob Van Dam busy that night? I mean, what the fuck, Shannon Moore?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, if they just announced, that's a match they should just announce, because I don't think anyone's, like, besides Inter's, like, oh man, Shannon Moore, and just, like, jumping out of their seats. That's not like a surprise guy.
Well, it wasn't bad as them saying, like, Hogan's going to be here later on, and he's the big surprise for Garrett Bischoff.
I mean, seriously, is this guy super over, Robbie E? I mean, that's the fact that they got to still keep the belt on this guy.
I like Robbie. I like the gimmick. I like him and then Robbie Key together. I like that they got I like the velvet rope. I like that whole angle.
I like that he checks his earpiece, Robbie T, and then he acts on what he's supposed to do. Like, tell me something in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
I asked Ultimate Beef if he comes to FanFest. I want him to be like our Robbie T. He'd be like our bodyguard following us around.
Oh, cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and then also, the meat and potatoes of why I really called, after, I don't know, close to a decade of praying to my dark lord to please make it happen,
mm-hmm.
my wish was finally granted.
Really?
No more Vince Russo on TNA. Maybe I'll have to start watching it again.
Mm-hmm.
It is a step up for the company. I'm glad that he's gone.
I've been liking TNA for the last few months.
I think you're going to like it even better now that he's not providing any input.
Mm-hmm. Can't be any worse.
Now, this guy that they said is coming on board, named Legato, didn't he write the ECW brand shows at one point?
I believe so. And I really don't know a lot about him, to be honest, but I think he was writing that, and I think he was friends with Paul Heyman, I believe. But I guess that the lead guy though has been Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love.
All right. So I had this idea, and I remember I read about this guy back then. They used to say that he was real cool with John Morrison, and I think he was the guy that actually made him change from Johnny Nitro to John Morrison, if I'm not mistaken. He was the head writer at the time for ECW.
Mm-hmm.
So that would just make me wonder, would that be a springboard for Morrison to go over there now?
I could see it. I actually think Morrison would be... I think they should get away from the Morrison gimmick, but I definitely think he's a guy you could bring in and be a big-name guy for you. Never been my favorite, but I mean the guy definitely has charisma. I think the Morrison gimmick was just bad.
Yeah,
I never really dug.
Well, I'm just saying, cause seriously, guys. I mean, hopefully now that Russo's out of the picture, maybe now they can start cleaning the house. That was my second wish, besides getting Russo out of there. I mean, there's a lot of talentless assholes that's collecting the check for nothing in TNA. And I would like to start seeing them just doing some spring cleaning.
All right, well,
spring cleaning.
Ten guys off the top of your head. Who do you? There are 10 people. Who do you kick out?
All right, here we go. Scott Steiner.
What? Big Papa Pump?
Let me finish. Scott Steiner. Abyss. Also, I want to say Crimson. Matt Morgan. Shannon Moore.
No.
I mean, that's half the list right there. Also, let's fucking get rid of any other WCW cast off. Sting, Jeff Jarrett. Oh, well, I forgot company, never mind. And while we had it, Rob off Gustav and his asshole said it. That was good stuff right there.
Hey. Intro, what if you get going there and you're like, man, I'm firing you, you're out on the streets, you can't support your family now. What 10 people would you do that to in TNA?
Could I fire Matt Morgan, then rehire him, then fire him again?
Like 9 times?
Yeah, just so I could have the enjoyment of firing him so many times.
Man.
Could I do that?
If you want.
Oh, I got awesome. One more. I got a knockout I'd like to see get fired, too.
All right.
And I'd like to fire, what's that bitch name? The one that's one half
that
of the
bitch.
Knockout tag team champs. With Gail Kim, that chick.
Yeah, that bitch. Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't know. I think that's one of the better. I don't really agree with all your list here.
Madison Rain.
Seriously. Yeah,
I think
Madison Rain's pretty good.
I would throw her in that same category as the Bella Twins. She should be somewhere sucking cock.
Hey.
Well, I'm probably doing that too, but.
Why can't she do both, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean.
And then last but not least, Gunner. Oh,
I like that.
About that guy.
See, now listen to me. That's a guy they should build the company. Like, you bring in a guy that's not I mean, I know he was other places, but people don't know him from other places. You bring him in, he's a pretty big dude. He's got a look. He's a good wrestler. I don't think they're doing the greatest stuff with him at the moment, but that's the kind of guy I think TNA should bring in.
Now, you just asked me to name 10 guys I would fire. I'm going to give you at least 5 guys that I would either push or even add to the company. And you tell me what you think of this list.
Right.
I would bring back into prominence Mr. Anderson, because where the hell has he been lately? Bring back Rob Van Dam.
Oh.
Bring back the Pope in a different angle. And then maybe hire Mike Knox and Luke Gallows. Those for me are better, more agile big guys than a motherfucking Abyss.
I don't agree with that. I mean, if you don't like Abyss, whatever, but I don't really think they're more agile. Or I think Abyss is better working both those guys.
Mike Knox.
All the guys
got the
fucking hardcore matches.
Well, that's what they're doing with him, but he's a good wrestler. He had some really good matches with AJ Styles. I don't think anything's wrong with Abyss. I actually think he's a really talented guy. I just think a lot of the stuff they've done with him since Hogan stuff has come in has not been very good.
I mean, the guys have been doing the same gimmick for like 10 years, and how many times has he gone from babyface to heel, babyface to heel?
Well, that's not his problem. That's the booking. That's what they've been writing for the guy. But as a talent, I think he's a talented guy. And RVD, oh my, he's on the top of my list for guys I'd like to see out of the company. I can't think of like a more useless guy than RVD. He comes out there, doesn't seem like he cares, he doesn't try. Man, I don't see anything RVD anymore.
Well, that's because you give the guy the world title, and then you mysteriously take the belt off of him.
He should try because he gained the world title.
I mean, it'd be one thing if they took the belt off of him because he had a dirty
t-shirt. Because he sucks? Because he goes out there and just real lazy?
I don't think. I think right in there, they've been the first stuff he's done for the last 15 years. I don't see any difference in this work with. I just think he had a lot of solid opponents, put him in feud with AJ Styles and Abyss, basically didn't made him basically unwatchable. But that wasn't his fault, like you said, it's for booking.
So you think I could see not like an AJ because you think he's bored. I don't know. He's like good on the mic. Maybe you don't think he's a charisma. Do you really think that guy's unwatchable in the ring?
At this point, yes, because I just think that's another one of TNA's building boys that they're just going to always give a job to for life.
Man, I don't know about this. I think you might end up making the show even worse.
No, I don't think so. I just gave you a list of 5 guys that can make the show better or more watchable, and I gave you 10 assholes that need to fucking get the pink slip. Are you telling me that you'd rather keep it at status quo?
No, but the guys you want to bring in or bring back, I really don't want to see. It's the only guys you want to fire I like to see.
Well, I'm not saying it.
Not all.
Why would we want to keep around a bunch of ancient WCW castaways that bring nothing to the table and they don't bring money?
RVD is a spring chicken.
Hey, look, RVD can go. I don't think Scott Steiner and these other apostles can.
The RVD can. I don't see it. I actually like I like Mike Knox, but I don't think Mike Knox is a guy gonna bring in and like is gonna blow the roof off the building. Like, I like the guy, I think he can do something, but I don't think he's gonna be turning around any company.
I just say, to me, I think that guy can, he can do as much if not more than a damn abyss. I think.
Yeah, but you like to pay for just because he's in WWE, and you bring him in, and these people say, "Well, this guy at WWE kicked out."
I mean, the guy has more moves than Abyss has, like 4 moves total.
Nah, I don't agree with that. Well, what kind of stuff does Mike Knox do? He only has a few moves. I don't think that really makes any difference anyway.
But I saw the guy, he can move for a guy that's like 300 plus pounds, though. Same with Chris Jones.
All right. What do you think? Luke Gallows and Mike Knox, is it going to overtake WWE?
Oh, I got one move that Mike Knox does.
What's that? Growing the beard?
Making John Morrison cry.
Well, I'm not sure if he keeps porking Molina, he will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they hire them both back and they got Morrison there, it's like, he's like, damn it, this guy just followed me here. Gotta keep dibs on tab, you know, gotta watch this girl here.
Alright, well, it's been good talking to you. You've been entered in the weekly prize wheel contest. We'll talk to you later.
I advise John Morrison.
But the Lone Wolf wants, Lone Wolf gets, fellas.
Alright. Darkness!
He'll make you do it. I paw now.
See? You've given in to the dark side.
No, I just decided. I think people like it, so might as well keep doing
it. You're kind of like WWE on that, though. People are like demanding, like, do it. You're like, no, screw you, I hate you. And then, like, when people stop talking about it, you start doing it again.
I thought I was being a nice guy here.
So now you're saying I'm missing the mark? Yeah, well, you didn't do it when it was like at the hottest, is what I'm saying. But I mean,
I had to be convinced, Jeff.
But it was like you started doing it after people stopped demanding it.
Well, if they don't want it, I'll stop.
I'm not saying that.
Well, saying if they don't want
like,
it.
The people were like sacrificing goats. They were like, oh my God, freaking
nobody
back power
was sacrificing
go
a goat. Come on.
They might have.
They might have. You don't have any evidence of that.
I got some YouTube videos. But would that really make you
I got
better,
YouTube
though?
Videos for everything. No, not
would that
really.
If some guy's out there, like, just slaughtering animals, like, bring back the bar.
No, I wouldn't feel
just
good
just make
about
you feel
that.
Bad, wouldn't it?
Well, you're making me feel bad now. You're saying I'm missing the mark when I'm trying to be a... I'm trying to give the people what they want.
I'm saying they like...
And
I'm
you're
just saying,
saying
that
I'm...
You brought it back after people were demanding it.
It hasn't been that long, though. I complained about it at the end of the year, 2011, and we didn't... And 2012, the show that I was on, because I skipped the first one because it was my birthday... I did it. So how's that missing it?
I don't have this all written down, each date you're doing it.
I decided in the New Year's, I was like, I'm going to stop being a diva, and I'm just going to do it. If people enjoy it, I've seen that people are enjoying it, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to give them what they want. And now I'm missing the mark, because I'm like old man Vince, saying they're going to not like it. I don't care if they like it. I'm not going to do it. Now you're making me feel bad.
I've been eating goat cheese lately.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Pretty good. Put it on my bagels.
Okay. That's kind of like a child's food, isn't it?
I don't believe so.
But anyways...
You're not doing yourself any favors with this child's food. When you're going on, you're saying like, oh my God, McDonald's is the best cuisine I ever eat.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't saying it was the best cuisine I ever ate. He's referring to my Facebook page, but I don't know. Is McDonald's hash brown?
Not like the twist things, you know.
The twist things?
Make it seem worse than what we said.
You saying the cinnamon twist from Taco Bell? We're not even in the same ballpark here.
Yeah, you're crazy.
I'm not crazy. What do you mean, twist things?
I said I like to twist your words around.
Oh, I thought you meant food. I see. I was like, what are you talking about? McDonald's don't sell any twist things, but oh, okay. Anyways, I was just going to say, John Morrison, he needs to invest in the chastity belt. But Dark Prince had to say his last little thing that he always says.
All right, interesting. You want to take some
bring
more calls?
Back to darkness.
We got a lot of people online. Should we take them? Do you want to keep talking about some more wrestling or what?
I did want to talk about Raw and the whole Zack Ryder bit.
All right, let's talk about Raw, then we'll get to the callers, all right?
Yeah, we'll get it done real quick here, but we got
do what you want, Incher. What you want.
I want to win Devon's kids. That's what I want. But anyways, Raw, Zack Ryder, this guy is just a laughingstock now. He his girlfriend was kidnapped by Kane, and she just walks into the ambulance. Like, why is she just walking into the ambulance? And it's like, somebody poke Kane, we're live, dude. Get into your
why
gimmick.
Are we so off on Kane's, like, they're always... His pyro, his music, they're always like so off on his cues, and then they just blatantly show a guy like telling them they're live. He's just like standing there like smoking a cigarette, and they're like, oh, we're live. Like, all right.
Eve hadn't even sat down yet. It's terrible, man. And then she jumps out of the ambulance because Kane's taking off with her in the ambulance.
Good thing Cena told her, get out of that car with that madman. It's like, or else she would have just sat there.
Yeah. And then she kisses John Cena. And then if it wasn't the greatest segment I've ever seen, it pans over to Zack Ryder sitting in a wheelchair. And he's got this.
You got roses and candy. What is Cena? What was he gonna do though? He's just gonna wheel up. He's like, hey, happy Valentine's.
Oh, what a goof! This guy's the biggest goof ever. And then to top it all off, he starts rolling away, and Eve just tells him she wants to be friends. Oh my God. Well, I mean, isn't this guy the biggest dork on TV? I mean, what kind of push is this?
I like that then he wheels in and, like, walks up the steps and then just leaves. That was one of the funniest things you ever seen, though. She's kissing Cena and they pan over and he's just sitting there in a wheelchair with flowers.
I know we're supposed to feel bad, but I just start laughing. I thought it was hilarious. This is the worst storyline ever.
Boy, it really makes Cena just seem like a real big dick. He's there kissing his like buddy's girlfriend while he's sitting there in a wheelchair.
Well, he's supposed to be embracing the hate, I guess, but
well, he's embracing something else, I think.
Well, could you blame him? I mean, Eve is a fine looking gal. But yeah,
that's all she's got going for her.
Oh, man. I mean, people like Zack Ryder. I mean, this is not the way to book the poor dude. I mean, he's just being destroyed.
Is it a way to get people to cheer Cena? What was the reasoning behind it?
I thought it was. Like, he was supposed to be buddies with Zack Ryder for you know, people to start making the Cena.
Do you think that adds an edge to him, that he's cheating with his buddy's girlfriend, that people... Yeah, that's the way to go.
It would have been great if after he got done kissing her, he just turned to him and said, you can't see me, and then just walked off. I don't think I would have caught it because I was just belly laughing at that point. I was just like, this is just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Did you feel bad at all for when they start chanting, "We hate you"? Like, that wasn't just booze. It was like, "We all hate you." That's pretty hardcore chant.
That was on Raw?
Yeah. When Cena was out there, they were chanting, "We all hate you."
Oh, I thought they were chanting, "We don't hate you."
No, we all hate you.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought they were putting the guy over.
No. They were saying, "We all hate you."
I mean, like, he's just on TV too much. I mean, it's just too much of Cena. He needs to go away for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But, the man's asking here in the chat room, is Zach going to have Bros Before Hoes shirts?
I don't think so now. I mean, his bros stole his hoe.
Yeah. That's
what. I mean, this is terrible for Zack Ryder. And then he's pushed off the stage by Kane.
Then Mick Foley and Joey Styles went on Twitter saying, like, they felt like he really hurt himself, like, because he went... And I mentioned this on Facebook, and people are like, "No, it was a dude." They're just like making fun of me and brought up, but the guy did like land on his knees first off the ramp.
I mean,
it was so stupid, but at the same time, like, it was a pretty like painful looking bump.
Yeah, that don't look it would be very easy to take for that's for sure, because you're in a freaking wheelchair and like it's not going to, like, land on its wheels and you're just going to roll off. It's flipping over, you know, because your weight's going to propel you forward. So, yeah, and then he just lands on his legs. That had to kill. Mm. But, I mean, it's such a stupid spot like that for such a stupid storyline. I mean, it's just stupid.
Yeah, oh, no, people were, like, I don't know, like, take this, like, kind of it looked like a pretty crazy bump to me for, like, this really stupid storyline that everyone's just going to laugh at it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just got done laughing at it for, like, when it just happened. Oh, man. That was so good. He's sitting there with the flowers, and he's in the neck brace. It was just hilarious.
Bohan316, he wants to know, do you think Kane asking Cena to embrace the hate is just his ass backwards way of asking Cena for a hug?
No. I think Kane just wants him to embrace the hate. Mm-hmm. Well, what exactly is he going to do when he embraces it? Like, he's just like, I kind of like
this. Does he want
him
to, like, kill himself? To kill him? Why would you want someone to, like, kill you? It's kind of like coming off like that. Like, Kane's like, he wants him to turn evil because that's the only way you can beat him. Why does Kane want someone to beat him so bad?
I guess they're trying to, like, mix in the Joker storyline from The Dark Knight.
So he really just wants to be ended.
To prove to everybody that he is, like, an evil person because he killed this guy who steals people and takes them away in amber lamps. And, yeah.
It's crazy. All right, entry. Want me to take some of these calls? Or the more raw?
Yeah, I think I... You had the debate segment at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. I actually liked Raw. I thought it was a good show, but boy, when it started, I was like, man, I don't think I'm gonna like this show.
I thought it was a pretty solid show as well. I enjoyed everything on it. I thought CM Punk was kind of one of the weaker performers in that segment, though.
I just thought the whole thing was bad.
You didn't like it?
No, I don't really like the beeps. It came off really corny.
No.
With all the podiums.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, I don't know. Like, who did you think was good? You thought R-Truth was good?
Well, I wanted to hear what Miz was saying, but they kept pushing the buzzer on him.
Yeah, they're saying that, like, there's, like, legit heat on Miz. They're not, like...
You think he was going on past when they wanted him to, you know, stop talking?
I don't know. You know they're saying this, but in a way, I think it's... Now, obviously, they probably didn't like him not catching R-Truth, but if he's really in the doghouse, they really don't like the guy, well, why is he in the main event of the pay-per-view? Why wouldn't they just take them out of it?
I guess they need so many, you know, main eventers in there. Who else
well,
they
could
have,
just,
you know?
They could throw anybody in there. I mean, they replaced Randy Orton with Santino on the
Seriously?
Elimination Chamber. Yep.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, I guess it's a spoiler, but he's the replacement for Randy Orton in the Elimination Chamber on Sunday.
My goodness. That's quite a replacement.
That's a guy, too. Like, I actually think if they would have tried to get behind him a few years ago, like, you might have got some of him. But at this point in time, like, he's still over, but I don't think anyone will ever buy, like, a main event push of Santino.
Man, that's craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. Jericho kind of going at CM Punk. I wish CM Punk had, like, a little bit more hatred towards Jericho. Like, react to what he's saying. Just don't yawn and pay no attention, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be... It seems like it could be a good feud in the making, but they're just... They're not playing with each other. Well, you know.
I like it when they play with each other.
They're not going off each other's lines. Let me spell it out and write it on a piece of paper and send it to Jack. He can't twist it.
I love his jacket.
Because I don't like it when he twists it.
I loved it when he had the jacket originally, but I just like see it. I'm like, man, this is
kind
of dumb.
Well, it's kind of his bit. Kind of what he does now, I guess, but
I don't think he should have it all the time. He should just have that one time. You can't come out with this jacket covered in lights all the time. I mean, it's funny, but it's like there's got to be some like I said, real hatred there. And you can't buy a guy covered in like LED lights. Like this guy's really out for business.
He had like a nice little vest last time he came back.
I like this.
Yeah.
I don't think, man, they've already have him wrestle on TV, too. It seems like already he's just like another guy in the show.
Yeah.
Instead of this, like, a big deal that he's come back.
Oh, well, he needs to get back in there eventually, but I guess he's going away now to tour with Fozzy, and then he'll be back again.
Yeah, but you would think you would save his first comeback match for pay-per-view and not in a multi-man match. I don't know, to me it really seems like a waste.
Yeah. Anyways, I didn't mind the debate segment. I thought it wasn't the greatest segment on Raw, but probably the best segment on Raw was HBK and Triple H.
Yeah, Hurricane brought that up. I thought, you know, going in, I wasn't really looking forward to it because I haven't been really into the build for Triple H and Undertaker, but they really got me into it. This was a hell of a promo, and it was something different.
You know, I mean, I liked everything for the most part. I liked how Sean played off of Hunter and, you know, was calling him a suit and everything. I thought that was really good stuff. And just saying, you know, you become one of them. I didn't think it could ever happen. And Hunter kind of came back at him and said he couldn't get the job done, you know, beating The Undertaker. But, the parts that I didn't like was when he was saying, you know, he's from like a forgotten, you know, or an era that just doesn't exist anymore. It's kind of putting down your current product, you know?
I really liked it, but I mentioned this on the Facebook or on the board, I agree that it does make everyone around this seem like, well, these guys are worthless.
Yeah,
and
I mean...
these other guys are gone, but I liked it, though. I thought in the storyline it was really good. And, you know, I probably agree with it, that these are the last of the guys from that era.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't really think any of the people around today are up to that. But you don't want
to
go out there and tell your audience that.
Yeah, I don't think you don't want to tell everybody that. But I guess they're kind of doing like a behind-the-scenes kind of thing where he was... And I didn't really like how he was saying, you know, Undertaker is a hot property and I don't want to ruin that. I mean... I don't know. Is that a thing that the feud should be built off of?
I like it was just something really different. Like you didn't expect to hear people saying that on the show, and I don't know. I liked it because it was something unexpected.
Yeah,
and he's looking out now for a different thing. He's the guy who runs the company, and he doesn't want to go there and destroy the guy he's making money on.
Mm-hmm. But those were my few little problems with it. And I don't think it's going to reflect good on your company if the guy who's going to be in charge soon thinks everybody's worthless. I mean, he's going to have to replace the entire roster or something.
They tell you that all the time on the show.
I mean, yeah.
That's just like their new direction. They're telling you, like, everyone's boring, or you're wasting your time watching it.
So is he just going to fire everybody?
That's what
everybody?
Michael Cole does all the time.
Yeah. Is he just going to fire everybody when he does get the reins? Yeah.
I doubt it. Boxman's
got to be somebody there to work.
PW Insiders actually just announced that Jesse Sorensen has already been released from the hospital and back home in Florida.
Oh, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Now I hope he gets well soon. I mean, I hate to see a guy get injured like that, but I haven't necessarily been the biggest fan of him either, but they just get this new guy, and they're pushing him down your throat, and you're just like, I hate this guy. He's throwing his footballs at people, and it's like, screw him. It's kind of the Flex Cabana thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, why should we like this guy already, you know? I don't know. It just seems like they can't bring in a baby face like that anymore. They almost kind of have to do like a Sheamus deal. Bring him as a heel and then kind of turn him into a baby face. And then, you know, it's hard to be a baby face in wrestling anymore, though.
And well, I think what makes a baby, I mean, yeah, you have to have baby face and heel, in my opinion. But I think what makes a good guy, what makes a bad guy strange.
Yeah.
You can't just be this goody-goody guy and people are going to cheer for
him. And the source and character is too much like the 80s kind of, you know, good guy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just like this really weird, just like, he's a football player. It's, it's just terrible.
Yeah, but, you know, I hate to see the man get taken out like that, but.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, I do think he was inexperienced. I don't think he was really ready to be wrestling, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he should have been, you know, hitting the gym with Hogan like Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. Hogan taught him everything, and look at how crisp he is in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Hogan. I'm going to throw the towel in, brother. I'm going to throw it in. You got to fight back. You got to fight back.
You should have at least pulled out a big boot. You think you'd learn that from Hogan?
Yeah, he didn't do any of Hogan's signatures.
No, I didn't.
But that would be kind of cheesy if you start hawking up. I mean,
I would like.
He gave Gunner the point. You.
I learned this. Do you think Hogan at this point in time, because he's trying to come back, do you think he can't do the big boot anymore? He can't get his foot up high enough? And he's having a hard time doing the leg drop because he's got bad hips. Do you think at this point, is it totally impossible for Hogan to come up to just start doing a new finisher? Like, would anybody buy it if he just started using, like, a bear hug as a finisher?
I think Hogan has so much charisma that he could think of a move that'd be a lot easier, and he could get it over in his promos where the fans would, you know, they would just accept it.
He's like, I'm bringing out the Hogan lock.
Yeah, I mean, he could do something. Can't you see him doing that?
The Hogan hug?
Yeah, the bear hug, you know.
Somewhere like you don't do anything, like a bear hug or a sleeper.
I mean, that's basically what Hogan's done his whole career, though. I mean, he's never been like a real technical kind of guy. He just knows how to get the fans into it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would like, because if he comes back, he can't, I don't want to see him doing, like, the big boot and, like, he puts the leg up to, like, their ankle and they just take this big bump and just be sad. But, I don't know, maybe do a sleeper hold?
I know what he could call his new move. He'd be like, this is the big settlement, brother. It takes down even Hogan. Yeah.
I'd finger poke a doom. He could bring that back.
Hmm.
You're pretty cool. All right, what else happened Raw?
Yeah. Let's see, Raw. Stuff happened.
I thought, you know, like I said, though, I thought it was a good show overall.
I enjoyed it, yeah. It's good stuff.
I like Tamina. I like Tamina Snuka.
Yeah, Tamina and Beth Phoenix, they had a little confrontation there after her match.
I like she's doing the Superfly Splash.
Mm-hmm. She does look a lot like Snuka, too, when she does it. Mm-hmm. Kind of cocks the head.
Mm-hmm. They say that he always used to really hurt people when he do it.
Hmm.
All right, Insure, should we take some of these calls?
Let's get to the calls, Jack.
I got a lot of people here online. If you call in, you get entered into the prize wheel contest. We got Dwayne on the line. Dwayne! Oh, man, this guy's been in a hole for a long time. Speak up!
Dwayne, we're calling on you.
I'm not hearing Dwayne. We got El Santo! What's up,
Santo?
What are you? What are you? You partying?
I think this. I think this is the beginning of Mardi Gras here, Jack.
He's like he's drunk off his ass.
He probably is. You got any of those beads going there?
Woo! Happy Mardi Gras! It's Mardi Gras time here in New Orleans.
All right.
Carnival week. Next Tuesday is Mardi Gras. It's time to get the beads out. It's time for the parade to be marching. It's time to say, Charlie, something, mister. And for all the honeys, to pull up their shirts and show their titties.
Oh, man.
Gringos. Woo!
Excellent. I think I'd rather be there. My
yeah! God.
I need a handful of beads.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You need to pull out a keg and just party all night.
Sure, why the hell
in
not?
In your head,
oh. No one. Now, I'm going to ask you a serious question here.
What serious?
All right, now if you could throw the if you got the beads, you could throw them out to anybody in the Headyverse. They got to take the top off. Who you doing? Who you throwing the beads to?
Oh man, that's a toughy one.
Oh.
You got plenty of mamacitas there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one, man. Oh, man, that's tough. I tell you what, were you telling me this? Today's a special day for somebody.
It is indeed.
It's a birthday girl out there today. Today is the 15th of February. Whose birthday it is?
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. None other than Mrs.
Big Red
Machine's
birthday.
Mm-hmm. It is her birthday indeed. It is her birthday. It is Mrs. Big Red Machine's birthday. So for her birthday, for her present, you're going to throw her some beads.
That's right.
Oh.
I got throw the beads. All kind of beads. I got big ones, little ones, long ones.
Whoa.
He's got to, but you know, before you throw the beads, what they got to do, y'all guys.
But it's her birthday.
Well, I don't care. All the way from over there, you still got to do it. If you want the beads, you got to do it. You got to do it.
Oh, man.
That's right.
I think Yolanda is volunteering for Mrs. Big Red Machine's birthday, and she'll take the top off if we give Big Red.
Yeah, I'll throw her all kind of beads. She can have to sit there all day. She'll be drowning by beads.
Something tells me we're having a lot of spanking tonight.
You too, Chica.
Oh man,
I tell you, it's crazy here.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be wild. And we're going to have some fun time. So let's...
Someone is typing like a madman.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
But look. Raw is war.
It is indeed. Raw is war. Well, they've been doing that.
It was war in that meeting. That crazy ass thing like they're running for president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell was that.
Were you into that? Did you like the debates?
It was all right. It was, I don't know.
Introduction.
Let me tell you, a lot of things get old. Mm-hmm. Like I hate like the truth. I mean,
little Jimmy.
You know, I don't know. The fans are trying to shut him up or something with the what chant. I don't know. It's just kind of old now. Talking about the spiders. Looking at spiders
weird.
And shit like that. That was crazy, bro.
Have you ever heard of Spider Stew, Incher?
No.
That was some strange stuff.
Would you try it if there was such a thing?
Sure.
I don't know what's wrong with his grandma cooking up spiders.
What do you think about...
I don't know anybody
being
that.
Imaginary person. Isn't that just weird?
Yeah, what's but that's kind of his gimmick. He's like a crazy dude.
Oh, I like
he's crazy,
man. Hippies were like the fans.
I don't know. That's what you get smoking that fake stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, you're smoking that synthetic poopery, it drives you nuts. So I don't know what's up with the truth.
Santo, we got a lot of people here online. I hate to cut you short, but anything real quick you want to say?
I want to say... I'm not looking forward for the Elimination Chamber, but I'm still going to check it out. If I'm home or not, I'll be in the parade. How's that?
All right.
I'm feeling better.
One of those fry parades?
I'm back 100%.
Uh-huh.
As you can tell by my voice.
That's good. That's good. So spleen, you're feeling?
Spleen is, yep, I'm
you
feeling better.
You can still party without the spleen.
Party girl time. For the people in the chat room, we're gonna catch some bees and get drunk all freaking night. Woo!
You can tell he has experience. In that.
And all your callers, y'all better answer the damn phone. Woo! How y'all getting close?
See you, Santo. All right, Intro. We've got the bouncing birthday girl here on the line. We got this big red machine.
Hello.
Hello. You what? Turned 25 today? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 19, Jack. 19.
That's well.
I'm telling everyone how old I am.
Oh, that's not like.
I'm old.
That's not old.
Nah.
Itch is a lot older than that.
Yeah, I am a lot older than that. I got a good 6 years on that. But it ain't so bad. 25 ain't nothing.
No, it's all right.
I can't remember back those days.
Jack drank a lot back then.
No, I don't think I was drinking at all back then. I just gave up. I'm like, forget this. I'm going to start drinking.
It's been an improvement, hasn't it?
So have you got any interesting presents besides in your head, of course? Falling on your birthday, that's got to be a pretty sweet present.
Yeah, this is the best present of all.
Intro, what do you think?
Of course.
You got the voice all tuned up?
The voice all tuned up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying, Jack.
Go on, then.
I catch your drift.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Big Red Machine. Happy birthday
to you.
You.
Aw, thank you.
That's pretty sweet.
Mm. That was beautiful.
Just harmonizing there, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. We were kind of like a... Yeah, we're kind of like a Boys to Men there.
Like friggin', I was going to say Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but that's because I'm old.
Well, Boys to Men isn't exactly recent.
That's what all the kids are listening to now.
Well, we were a regular Rat Pack there, Jack.
It was very nice.
Do you think there'll ever come a day where barbershop quartets make a comeback?
I don't know if we could have pulled a barbershop quartet off, but...
Yeah, well, we only got two people.
Mrs. Big Red Machine, do you...
The only thing holding us back. Do you feel any older?
No.
Let me see.
I saw that comment on Facebook. I was like, look at that. That dirty old man. You have no shame.
She liked it. So, we wish her happy birthday.
She liked it. You know she did.
She's laughing. She enjoyed it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
See? See?
She's a good girl.
Exactly.
Have you been, sounds like you might have been enjoying your birthday here. You've been taking any,
He's asking, have you been hitting the sauce?
Never. How very dare you?
I think we recommend people drink a little bit before you call in to us here.
It's probably the only way you can enjoy the show.
Oh, well.
It doesn't need a drink to get through it.
Nah. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. But was there anything now? I know you're a big Kane fan, obviously.
Yeah.
Did you like the spot where he was just standing there beside the ambulance and somebody poked him and then he started closing the door?
Is this return making you proud to be a Kane fan? And if you ripped open a present and you had a big box of candy canes there, what would you do?
That would be the best present, obviously. Mm. I need a box of them. They need to make them.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. I don't know if you saw this intro. They had people are getting pissed about them. I don't know why, but they had this little spoof on the WWE site, and it was like spoofing Girl Scout cookies, and they had WWE cookies, and one of them was candy canes.
Excellent.
And I offered a candy cane for Mrs. Big Red Machine to suck on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Jack.
What?
Be alone with the candy.
You'd be locked up somewhere if you went around talking to women this way. Only Ric Flair can do that and get away with it.
Woo!
You're not exactly Rick.
The hell are you talking about?
Well, you did have a nice robe on last year, so. You're close. You're close. Styling and,
I was styling and profiling.
And profiling, I guess. Mm.
All right, Big Red. Well, thank you for calling in. You've been entered in the contest.
Happy birthday
okay.
to you.
Happy
Thank you
birthday.
Very much.
Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you have many more to come.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you just don't die after that.
I hope you do not die after today.
Yeah, she's a young girl. She's going to have a few more in the future, I'm sure.
We'll leave it at that. You hope I don't die.
Exactly.
Bye.
Bye. Right, now we've got Dwayne, and we're giving this man a second chance, Enter. Dwayne,
can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Awesome.
We can
it
hear
is, Dwayne. I'm just so pumped to be talking to my two favorite radio hosts, Drew and the Goat Boy.
I'm the Goat Boy.
Where did Drew come from?
Shut up, Drew. Ask him a question.
I don't know, but that was one of my favorite moments ever on the show.
Drury Jones. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
It doesn't.
It's hard to say. All right, Dwayne, you've been on hold. You've been patiently waiting to talk to Drew and Goat Cheese McGee. What have you been wanting to talk about?
That's the name that will get over. I should use that.
Hey, Goat Cheese McGee. I kind of like it.
Goat Cheese McGee.
All right. So what's on your mind?
Jack, I'm going to let the whole world know
that
I hate shaking hands because I have the Young Bucks t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I've never liked shaking hands. I don't like the custom. I don't like touching people. I think you just say hi and, like, nod or something. You don't need to be shaking hands. I'm with
you. I'll tell you one thing.
Pretty cool shirt.
I like shaking hands.
If I ever see Booker T, I'm not even going to look him in the eyes.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't like looking people in the eyes either.
I like it.
I don't like acknowledging people.
You just hate human contact.
Pretty much. This is, I don't know if you can hear this. This is an astute gimmick here. Can you hear this? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Actually a bottle of hand sanitizer I have right here. Because I don't like shaking people's hands. I don't like coming into contact with people. You don't
You're
going to
get, like, warts on your hands like Hallie Mandel if you keep that stuff up.
What?
You're going to lose all your natural resistance to germs on your hands and you develop warts. You haven't ever heard that?
You know what? This is a true story. I was on the way home, and we were listening to the radio in the car. And he was on promoting, he was doing the stand-up, Howie Mandel, somewhere in Massachusetts, I forget where now. And the guy, he said, oh, what are your memories of all those Police Academy movies you were in? And it's like, I was never, he's like, weren't you and all, he thought he was
Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, and then, I swear to God, this is true. Near the end of the, and I thought he said hang up. He said, "Do you still smash watermelons?" I couldn't believe it. He goes, "You're joking, right?" And he said, "No." And he's like, "That's a Gallagher." I thought he's just gonna hang up on the guy.
Oh, sounds like a good interview.
Now I'm not saying we're the best, but I think I'm better than that guy.
At least you know who the people are for the most part.
We don't have the hurricane on, and we're like asking, you know, what was it? You know, what do you think about Brodus Clay stealing your music?
Yeah,
thinking like he's Ernest the Cat Miller or something.
That would be entertaining though if you just had like legends on and just like asked them about stuff from today.
Well, Drew, he knows how to ask all the hard-hitting
questions. What's it like wrestling Death Phoenix?
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to get in there with ODB?
What do you think of Fit Finley?
All right, Dwayne. So what was on your mind?
Well, the Young Bucks shirt we pretty much covered.
That's an awesome
I
want to
take
shirt,
up
though.
For someone again.
Mm-hmm.
Much
you know
like
what?
Last week.
Before you get to that, I'm going to say something, because I know... Ole Anderson has said this in the past.
Cut him right the fuck off, Jack.
He said Jim Cornette has not done anything to make him like him more. It's just that, like, worse people have come along, so he moved up his book. And I think Dwayne falls into that category for us. It's not like he's better, but there's, like, so many worse people we actually like Dwayne more than we used to. What do you think, Andrew?
I found Dwayne highly annoying whenever he called in on the phone. For some reason, it really drove me crazy.
Well, I was just kidding. I liked Dwayne.
And then when he switched to Skype, it just totally changed my opinion, I think.
All right.
I mean, when I freaked out and I was yelling like a madman at Dwayne, I will admit I wasn't having the best day to begin with. Mm-hmm. But I think it had to do with the phone. It just annoys me on the phone for some reason.
Just let me say that I took that super personally, and I've never forgiven you.
Oh, yeah, when you start laughing halfway through it.
Did that piss you off more?
Oh, yeah, it's like, this guy's just laughing at my rage. It makes me want to destroy.
I can't help it. I've been that way since I was a kid. Like, when people yell at me, I just think it's funny.
It probably would have been bad for you in person, but... I don't know. I probably would have flew off
you
the hook.
Really,
at
you
point.
Haven't flown off the handle for a while. I mean, there's some old shows where you'd like you could hear you like wrecking your red room. You're like breaking stuff.
Yeah, I need to go back to those days.
I'm on blood pressure medication
now, so maybe that's helped. That mellows me out or something.
Yeah, it's good. I don't want you know breaking the walls down or nothing.
I didn't think it would be
you have a wall.
None really. I got a.
I thought maybe you never punch a hole in the wall.
I punched a hole in my door, not all the way through, but partially. I mean, who hasn't done that? Come on now.
Me?
Yeah, I can't say I've ever done that.
Ah. I thought about, like, setting up some props one time before and, like, shattering glass and stuff. Like, just act like I'm really freaking out. I thought that
would
be
fun. People come over, what are you doing? Well, some props for my radio show.
I'm breaking. I'm trying to make it sound like I'm ramshacking my room.
You shouldn't have told this. You should have just done this.
Yeah, I know. I should have. But I'm far too lazy, I guess.
Mm. Now they're saying the charm, if they ever meet me, they're going to, like, fondle their balls before they shake hands with us.
Why are they going to do that? I mean, I don't care to shake people's hands. I enjoy it, actually. I like a strong embrace. I like a nice handshake. Yeah. Don't bother me.
I kind of see not bothering you, but, like, you enjoy it? This just seems, like, kind of bizarre.
I don't know. It makes me feel like a big shot or something. Like, come here, let me shake that hand. It makes me feel like, yeah, I'm the man. I know how to give a handshake. I don't know. It just kind of gets me off, I guess.
Man, that's weird.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I'm kind of glad you don't like me now.
So now you still come up to you, like, expect so to be shaking your hand, and you'll just be, like, getting this big stiffy.
Yes, Jack, I'd be creaming my jeans. Now you're going to take away one thing that I love. That's all you do. Now nobody's not going to want to shake my hand because they think that's what I'm up to.
All right, Dwayne, you've been entered in the prize wheel contest. Now, you're in luck this week, Dwayne, because not only enter, but this week for Valentine's Day week, I'm adding a pair of boxer briefs that I've actually worn on the show. One time, 1 week only, it's going up on the prize wheel entry.
No, man.
I hope I win, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Will there be DNA samples? I don't know.
How many people have pulled out of the prize pool? I mean, are we really that low on prizes?
No, I get tons of prizes. It's just an extra bonus.
Oh, okay.
Mm. All right, Dwayne, thank you for calling in. You're a good man.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to just Thanks, like... Drew.
Are you just, Drew, are you going to just staple your pants to the, or your underpants to the wheel?
I got to print out, like, a graphic.
No, I thought it'd be funny just to see them flopping around whenever the wheel's spinning.
Yeah, that's not going to be all flopping around.
Huh.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. All right, Incher, who the hell else we got here on the phone? We got, I believe his name is Ryan.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing, Ryan?
I'm okay, guys. What's happening?
Doing pretty good. You sound like you're, like, Australian or something.
No, I'm not Australian. I'm from Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Are you calling in from, paying, like, a fortune to call us right now?
Yes, I think so. I've been on hold for about 30 minutes, you know.
I feel horrible.
It's all good, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm new to Skype, so I'm just getting the hang of Skype. But I don't talk like Seamus. I've got a lot thicker accent than Seamus, you know.
I think it's pretty manly accent you got going there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very thick. I know that. It's not like Seamus. He's Southern Irish. I'm Northern Irish. I'm way up north in Belfast.
Have you ever heard of the Glasgow grin?
The Glasgow smile.
Grin.
The Glasgow smile. Kiss.
Grin.
He said the smile, Jack.
I thought it was a Glasgow grin. This is when they cut their face. Almost like the Joker.
Yeah.
That's a Glasgow smile.
See, it's like you trying to tell somebody freedom fries really aren't freedom fries.
I thought he said smell.
No, he said smile.
No, smile.
I wanted to say the guy from Sons of Anarchy, the actual actor that they incorporated into the show, but the real actor actually has that, because they attacked the man in the streets of Ireland and cut his face.
Well, you know, Fit Finley comes from where I'm from. He's not too far away from here, originally. You know, Finley.
Is he like a huge hero there for you?
Not really. He's not really well known here.
Really?
He's not. The only time he was sort of well known was he come on the scene in WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he's got that weird, like, that weird jacket with just one shoulder, but one shoulder pad. It was bizarre.
Now that's when he had the angle with William Regal.
Mm-hmm. Belfast Brawler. Now is that kind of gear? Is that big there? Do you guys like just the one shoulder pad?
No, nobody dresses like that. We just wear jeans and t-shirts, right. Jumpers.
I was thinking everybody walk with big spikes on one shoulder.
That's a fashion.
I don't know where the fuck he got that from.
Nah, he thinks everything he sees on wrestling is like how it really is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really well known here, you know.
Who is well known there?
Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, the British Bulldog. You know, I grew up watching wrestling in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I started out watching Wrestling Challenge. We used to get Wrestling Challenge over here. When I was a kid, I watched the Ultimate Warrior, the British Bulldog, you know, the Hart Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, all those guys, they would be pretty well known from the 80s, the early 80s and 90s. Yeah.
All the classic guys from the 80s.
When you say that, this is it. You know, that's... I would rather watch classic wrestling, and I get more excited for the Hall of Fame now than I do for the actual WrestleMania.
Yeah. Hall of Fame is...
You know, to me, the business is in the toilet.
Now, who do you want to see go into the Hall of Fame this year that's not already been announced?
Well, it's gotta be Macho Man. You know? You know, is he going to get in?
I don't think he's going in this year.
No, it doesn't look like it, but it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace, you know. I just seen the other day that Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, is dead. Is he dead? It's his anniversary of his death.
Yeah, 9-year anniversary.
You know, there's a guy who never got the WWF belt. Guys like him, Ravishing Rick Rude, great heels, great athletes, workers. And then these guys like The Miz, you know, and Jack Swagger get the belt these days. You know, it's a joke.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, used to be you think, well, man, Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, all these, there's so many guys you could name that were huge stars but never got the title. Now it's pretty much everyone that's ever over gets the title.
But you see the angle on Raw that you were talking about with Triple H and HBK.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that angle, what Triple H said was true. Them guys are the end of an era. You know, the Attitude Era. You know, Michaels and The Undertaker go back to the 80s, obviously. And, you know, once they're gone, who is there? You know?
Uh-huh. Is there anybody? I've said this on the show, and sometimes I think maybe I'm this old guy, and wrestling passed me by. But there aren't too many guys that's come around in the last 10 years that's really captured me.
Yeah, there's only John Cena. John Cena's a star. You know, I don't rate him, but he is a star. You know, they've made the guy a star. And you know, if John Cena wasn't there, you know, who would you have to face The Rock?
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Sheamus? Is he big for you guys?
Well, he's getting a bit of he's obviously getting a bit of publicity. I like Sheamus. I think he's an old, he's more like an old school wrestler. You know, he's got the look. He's big. You know, he's rough. He's stiff. You know, he's probably a wee bit well known in Ireland. You know, but to me, he's a throwback to the old days. You know, these guys years ago. Are you still there?
Yep.
These guys years ago, you know, if you weren't jacked up, I like the old look, jacked full of steroids, you know, the warriors, the warlords, you know, that's what drew money. If you weren't jacked up, if you didn't look like you could rip somebody's head off, you know, you were a jobber. You know, a lot of these guys now, The Miz and so on and so forth, I reckon I could take them. You know,
whoever's eating on the line, could you please stop?
Well, we want to, Ryan, I want to thank you for calling in all the way from Ireland. That is pretty sweet. You've been entered in the contest, and hopefully we hear from you again soon. But if You know, if you call in again, just let me know beforehand so you don't have to stay hold so long. I did not realize you were calling away from Ireland.
Oh, that's great. That's great, lads. Well, keep up the good work. Like I say, it's the first time I've called in, but I do listen to you on your... I download your show every week, and I like your interviews. You do. You really do a good job, so thanks for letting me call in.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
And I think Incher, he might win for best voice of the year. Best, what do you think?
Sounds like a
Eddie Ward? I like it. All right. We'll talk to you soon, Ryan.
All right, lads. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Well, anyways, I believe I've lost everybody at this point, but I'm getting a call back, so let me pick it up. Hello, Jack. Huh. Appears I still lost him. Anyhow, gonna take a break, I suppose. Fix up a few things. It's good to hear from the guy from Ireland. That was awesome. 508-644-8503. We shall return after these messages. Which really means just a song, and it's a liner, but, you know, you get the point.
Hey, what's up? This is Amy Dumas. You may know me as Lita. And you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
All right, we have returned, and I'm still not a werewolf.
Excellent. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but I think Jack had, you know, he was in some fear that he might turn into a werewolf.
I was. The full moon's out. I got some hair popping up in places.
Mm-hmm.
Never know what's going on. Now, in the chat room, Eric was asking if green mist comes out of my penis. This is the kind of stuff this guy thinks about.
You can think of some pretty bizarre stuff, too, so I don't know. I think you all would get along.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Like I'm some kind of psychopath or something.
You are a little bit.
You love it.
And all right. What do you follow that up with?
Cena paid off the roofers.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good that he paid them up.
Yeah.
Did they do a good job or what?
I don't know. I have no idea. But they said that he paid them up. He's paid on his debt. What took the man so long?
Yeah,
the man's
really.
Like a freaking multimillionaire.
Maybe even the roofers hated him. Maybe that was his way of getting back at the fans.
That's
like,
an
you hate me? I won't pay the roofers.
Hey,
screw the roofers.
I say, you, they do their job, you gotta pay them.
That is true.
Alright, speaking of paying up, who the hell we got on the line here? We got Williams on the line.
Well, 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 since Valentine's was yesterday, you know where all those broke husbands with the candies and the flowers are sitting while banging their wives.
Really?
Valentine's Stanley Cones once a year.
Man.
And their wives know where to get the dick. Up the ass!
This guy's pretty sick too, Jack. I think you'd get along with him too.
Walk around naked in just a robe and a boxers, right, Jack?
Mm.
You smell what I'm cooking.
Don't drop the soap.
This ain't prison. This is Jack's rules. A lot different from prison.
Oh, well, it looks like you better not drop the soap then, will you? If it's Jack's rules.
You didn't attempt to have this soap drop out of your hands, because Jack would be right behind you.
Man, this is crazy talk.
Oh, you know, I'm just messing with you, Jack.
Better be, boy.
Well, you know, you have your signed boxers on there. If I win those, I would have to trade you for what I wear, which is nothing.
Well, you can. That's the fine trade. Nothing from a pair of boxers. Just think of that, Incher. You're at home. You're a fan of the show. You get a package in the mail. You rip it open, and there it is: a pair of boxers previously worn by Jackie Jones, hand signed to you.
Awesome.
I might just put your name in the hat this week. What do you think about that?
My name in the hat, so I could win the boxers.
That's right.
Huh?
You should just rig it and let 1 inch win.
Man.
Just to see the surprise on his face when he gets a pair of your boxers in the mail.
He wants to win what's inside him.
Scratch and sniff version?
Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It might make a good addition to my voodoo doll I just had made up as that, of a Really? Yeah. I've been taking up some voodoo. Yeah.
If any voodoo doll might be complete with some pew hairs.
Mm, let me get that doll. It's just right over here. You want to spank Miss Destiny on my show, eh?
That was a good segment.
Yeah, it was.
Good old spankings.
I was going to spank Mrs. Big Red Machine for her birthday, but it seemed like she was under the influence a little bit, so I don't want to take advantage of the young lass.
You got to whip it out. Whip out the Big Red Machine.
Yeah, I wanted to stop William.
Let her see what the Big Red Machine's packing.
Now, William, was there any wrestling-oriented conversation you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I mean, a couple different things. For starters, I actually missed the Funkasaurus on Monday Night Raw the past couple weeks. Been disappointed not seeing him.
Yeah. It sucks he's not around. And they say that they're taking him off because he's a bad worker. Now, what do you make of that, Jack? You say he's a great worker.
I don't think he's great, but I think he's a good worker. I don't know.
Well, what gimmick does he have? He's dancing around for a few minutes, entertaining all of us.
Why did
somebody fuck your mama? And then he wrestles a jobber, and then he wins. I mean, what else can you expect?
It's not a very good display.
His wrestling skills? That's bullshit.
If that's a real story, then it's just silly. I mean, the guy's why did they even start the gimmick? I mean,
wasn't
if we can start
the gimmick, though, to cover up his bad wrestling skills?
I don't agree with that anyway. I think he's actually a good wrestler. I mean, he's doing these comedy matches. What do they expect?
There's not a lot you can expect, except what you're getting. And I was just, I thought to get.
What do they expect to get him in a minute match? Is he supposed to, what's he supposed to be doing out there? Having a ring Ric Flair?
Steamboat out there in a minute? Come on now.
I don't know. What if they just bring him back repackaged? This seems silly. And all those people out there telling me, you're crazy, you can't have him come out as a monster because it'll only last a short period of time. It's worse, this gimmick's going to last a lifetime.
Jack, to be honest with you, I think that this whole thing, they just don't want the man getting over. And they saw that he got over with it, and they just wanted to can it. Somebody just don't like him. That's what I think it is.
Why even hire him? Why even put him on TV? Why take the time to make these outfits? Why bring up back this song? Why put him on TV?
Why'd they do the Red Rooster?
Well, all this anti-bullying campaign.
Red Rooster lasted like a year or two, didn't he?
I don't know, but why'd they do it? I mean,
hey, the Red Rooster actually made a WrestleMania appearance, so you gotta give him that much.
Yeah, he was on TV. Why would you even put something on TV that you don't want to use? I don't understand it.
Well, you think they wanted to put, you think that was the best character, the Red Rooster?
Yeah, but it was still like they still went with it. I thought it was dumb, but they tried to get it over. I don't see how it could possibly get over, but it wasn't like they had him for 1 week and they just took him off and said, we're not doing this anymore. He was on there for a long time.
But the Funkasaurus,
he was getting
a reaction. He was getting a reaction. Why'd they take him off?
Yeah, why even put him out there if you don't want to do it?
Don't make no sense to me, but they did.
I don't get it.
It's completely horseshit how WWE thinks.
I really didn't like it anyway, so it doesn't really bother me. But what bothers me is just the idea that they do this stuff where they put something out there and you... And then it just ends with no reason, or there's no payoff. There's no payoff.
Who the
person was behind the laptop. You get invested. You put time into watching the product, and then there's no payoff. You just feel like you wasted your time.
What happened to Alex Riley? That was another guy that they pushed to the moon for a couple months, and he jobbed out in like a minute to the Funkasaurus. That's another one of those things where you can't quite understand.
And the fans got behind him too, which I was kind of shocked at. I didn't think they'd really get behind him like they did, but they really got behind him, and then they stopped pushing him. And the reason what I heard was that he wasn't like ready for it. He wasn't that. Well, why did they even push him to begin with then? They would have to know that. They're like, well, oh, this guy's not that good. He's too new. We should stop pushing him. Well, why did you push him in the first place?
Well, they pushed him to the moon, and then,
He got over. He actually got over.
Yeah, I know, and I wasn't even a fan of his, but, yeah, the fans just popped for him, and then his career just flatlined and dead all of a sudden. And even now, as a fan of his, you're kind of like, dude, how the fuck? And he's still on TV somehow.
Yeah.
And they still think he's not ready for the big time?
Mm-hmm. Weeble here are entering. What do you think about Red Rooster versus Undertaker at Mania?
Did that happen?
No, but what do you think about the odds of it happening? At next WrestleMania.
I don't think it's going to happen because he's in TNA now, the Red Rooster. He's got his own action figure. People need to buy that one because it's going to be rare, I think.
It kind of sucks that they can't put out a Red Rooster figure. That'd be better.
I don't know. It's like the living legend Terry Taylor figure. That's kind of strange.
That was kind of funny. You see all these legend action figures TNA's putting out, and then Terry Taylor. I was like, what?
Now, when Jax was with WWE, they were putting out legend after legend after legend. All like 12 legends at a time. And now they're with TNA and they put out Red Rooster.
Not even Red Rooster,
just Terry Taylor. Pretty boring.
You think that's going to be a rare one?
Think
so?
I don't know. It just seemed like it struck me as something that's going to be hard to find.
I don't know. I think it would be one like you go to Walmart and you go down the toy aisle and there'll be like 20 of them just sitting there for like 3 years from now.
You could be right, but who knows?
When I was a little kid, I remember action figures being $5 and getting as many as I can. I can't only imagine when a little kid playing with a Terry Taylor action figure is going to think.
Now they cost like $20. Like $15, $16 a pop. They ain't cheap.
What's that, like $10?
I saw that they got some new ones coming. They got an Andre the Giant one coming out. It looks pretty sweet. Because they made him really big, too. Not like, I remember Jax did one where he was taller than everybody, but he's like real skinny and sickly looking. But this one looks pretty good.
Awesome.
So it's like 92 Andre the Giant.
Yeah. But anyway, man, well, thank you for calling, William. You were a good caller. Thank you.
Can I listen to the rest of the show?
Go for it, dog. We've got Farjory Giorgio on the show, on the line. Yeah.
That's my shoot last name, but you can just call me Joseph Anthony. That's
all right, the Joseph is on the line.
How's it going, guys?
Not too bad, not too bad.
I was actually going to bring up Funkasaurus, but do you think Daniel Bryan's going to retain the Elimination Chamber?
I kind of feel like he's going to lose it. I'm not sure who to, but I just don't think they want him to have it at WrestleMania.
I don't really like the Elimination Chamber where the champion's in it, especially two of them. It just seems like kind of, it's like so like against the odds that you're going to retain the title, and unless it's like a babyface guy who's in it and like, and that's the story you're telling. I don't think it's a very good match to have I think it's better suited where the winner faces the champion instead of the champion defending his title in the Elimination Chamber.
Okay, do you think it would be better for Punk to lose and then challenge against Jericho at Mania, or for Bryan to retain and go against Sheamus at Mania?
Well, I think you'll probably see both those matches at Mania. So, I would rather see Daniel Bryan retain and then face Sheamus. I think that would be a bigger moment, Sheamus. Now, see, I think it would have been better, actually, if Sheamus if Daniel Bryan just wasn't in this, like, Elimination Chamber. Because he's this heel, and it just seems weird that a heel would, like, overcome all the odds and win Elimination Chamber as a champion.
I kind of liked how you set up the, you know, Jericho beating Punk, and then that would be the WrestleMania, because, like, you could see, like, Punk's blowing him off right now, but when Jericho takes his belt, you know, he's going to have to pay attention to him.
So then he goes for the title instead of him defending the title.
Yeah.
That'd
be
pretty
cool stuff, I think.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea. Anything else there, Joseph? What would you like to see?
What would I like to see? I would like to see, just the way that's now is fine. I would really like to see Bryan in some sort of championship match at Mania, because that guy really deserved it. And this stuff has been kind of the best on TV lately.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think WWE's really behind the guy. I don't know if he'll be on Mania, honestly. Like, he might have, like, a lower-end match, but I don't know if he'll be the champion at Mania.
I think they are behind the guy, though, because if they weren't behind him, like, they look like they weren't really behind him a while ago, but I think they've been kind of impressed with his character work and some of the stuff and the way he just doesn't have a bad match ever, that they've kind of let him keep the title and get more mic time and things like this and exposure on Raw and things. So I think someone's recognized his talent and he's going to do something at Mania.
Yeah, I think they're behind him too.
Michael Cole has kind of shut up about him, so you could be on to something.
He still goes on. I don't know. It's kind of, it is strange how, like, he's heel. They're both heels, and he's still, like, belittling the man all the time.
Mm-hmm. They kind of changed that, though. Like, on the last draw, it was very much so, like, Michael Cole wasn't burying everyone, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I think they realize that it takes away from the program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And his girlfriend, hot piece of ass. Yeah.
So what do you think about Santino in the Elimination Chamber? I like Santino, but to me, that's just not a match that you should bring comedy into. It'd be like if you had, like, a comedy guy in, like, War Games.
You know what? I think they should actually debut, like, a new guy, like Moxley there or something in the Elimination Chamber.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
A
mystery guy. Like, debut someone new, and even if he doesn't win, like, get him over in the chamber, beat a few guys. Like, that would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What if he wore a mask and ripped it off when he broke out of the chamber?
I don't know about that one.
It'd be like, this is the mystery man.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious, just like the Black Scorpion kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. Mm. I've been wanting the chambers to where you couldn't see through them. Then you wouldn't know who was in each chamber.
Well, that would be designated as a free chamber then. Yeah.
Not the whole chamber, because that would be a hell of a match where it was just this chamber and it was like totally encased in like brick. And like they're just saying, oh man, I wonder who's winning. And then so some guy walks out.
They could do a spot where a guy like Goldberg, like, speared the guy through the chamber. They could spear a guy through gimmick bricks, and that would be better.
But what if they did a match like this, Inter? Okay, they sent two guys into this chamber, you can't see in it, and you just hear sound effects, and then you don't know who wins until somebody walks out.
That sounds kind of terrible, Jack.
They wouldn't have to take bumps. They just walk out. They're covered in blood. Like, holy, oh, I wonder what kind of brutality went through.
It's like the Hitchcock kind of match. You don't, you know, it's more horrific if you don't see what's happening.
Exactly. We have to keep it short, because, like, if that went on, like, 20 minutes and you're just sitting there looking at, like, a brick wall, I'd be like, what the hell am I watching? If it was, like, a minute, I think it would work.
That's kind of like a Looney Tunes skit, isn't it? Where they go fighting and then it just shows the walls going up and down the wall and then they come out.
You get like puffs of smoke coming out?
Yeah.
You good?
I think it'd be awesome.
What if they combine the chamber with the kennel from hell?
See, and you want that? The guys don't have to take bumps. You don't have to worry about injuries. I think this is the future of wrestling.
I think the boss man was buried in the kennel of hell. He had to take that one with him. That went to the other side with the boss man.
You don't think the boss man was buried beside Big Show's daddy?
Oh, man.
What happened to Big Show's dad? I mean, he stole him, so where'd he take Big Show's dad? Did Big Show ever get him back?
I don't
remember. It's been a while.
Do you guys want to switch gears to talk about ROH? Because I'm looking at the pay-per-view event page, and they only have kind of three matches announced. They have Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly against Eddie Edwards and Adam Cole. Then they get the Briscoes against Young Bucks, and then Lethal against Tommaso Ciampa. So only three matches for a pay-per-view in like 2 weeks, two of which are tags.
That's really strange that you get your world champion in the tag match on the main event of your by pay-per-view. I don't really like that. I remember actually back in the day, even when the old most of the SummerSlam main events were the tag teams, and as a kid, I just thought I was always let down. It's like, yeah. I want to see the champion defending the belt, not it's, just like in this weird
tag
team.
It's strange because how they're presenting this show, it kind of seems like the afterthought, like this one that's coming up. And like the next show, they're charging full price for it. Like this one's only going to be $10, and the next one's going to be $15.
When's the next one though? After the Manhattan one here?
It's like the one in Manhattan is like at the beginning of the month, and then the one after that's like towards the end.
Is that Mania weekend? That
it might be that one. Summer and it's something about Showdown Summer or something like that. So it might be that big one wherever they go down there and. No, you try to drum up a lot of the wrestling fans to go to their show. But, yeah, I kind of like that the Young Bucks are going to be taking on the Briscoes. I think that would be a good bout.
I think that's a good one. I think that's probably a good match, but I don't really think a tag team with the champion in it.
Well, they're doing a feud where Kyle O'Reilly's trying to be, like, in the American Wolves with Davey Richards. So they're kind of, like, building off of that. Jack, he doesn't get the TV in his area, so he's not real familiar with
all the angles.
This
seems very strange to me that you have the iPay-per-views, and it's not with the champion defend his belt.
Yeah.
I don't like that idea.
It is odd, but it just strikes me that this one isn't like their big show. The one at the end of the month will be their bigger show. But.
Can they afford to do that? Have, like... kind of throwaway pay-per-views?
Well, they say by popular demand, they're going to broadcast this one. So I guess like a lot of people were getting on them saying they want to see it. So that's what they've been saying on their TV show anyways.
Do you think it's going to make any difference, like charging $10 versus $15? Like wouldn't the same amount of people buy it at $15 versus $10?
Like, I don't know. $10 definitely more appealing to me. Like, well, I kind of think $15 is a little much, honestly. For a stream off the internet.
Yeah, but
I think it should always be about, like, 10. Like, even if it was, like, a TNA pay-per-view, you know, I think it should be, like, 10. But
like, the ROH pay-per-views are always usually pretty good when you're paying 15. Like, I know the Urban Wrestling thing, that's only an hour, and they're charging, like, 15 or 10.
Yeah, that seems a little high to me, honestly.
That the Urban Wrestling, it's quite a bit, and it's only an hour, and it's taped.
Yeah.
Damn.
But Team Ninja here in the chat room, he's saying that they're having two pay-per-views Mania weekend, and it's $20 for both.
Ooh, steep.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
And both of those and then Mania, that's a lot.
Yeah, is that $20 each one, or $20?
No, I think you get both of them.
No, that's not too bad.
From what I understand. I think you
got both. It is weird how all the shows like try to piggyback off WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I actually want to try to go because you can see both ROH, and I think Dragon Gate's going to be there, and Mania, and Hall of Fame, and $5 Wrestling even.
Yeah, Combat Zone.
$5 Wrestling's getting in the mix.
Yeah. It's not like the live $5. It's, yeah, it's wherever Colt Cabana would ever do the live thing.
Is Freight Train going to be on it?
I need to see the title around his smooth belly.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys been watching the $5 Wrestling? It's just phenomenal.
No, I haven't really watched it.
Besides some stuff on YouTube. Kind of looks like something I'd probably enjoy.
Did you see when Freight Train cut the promo on Vince McMahon and R-Truth?
Yeah, I saw that one.
I've seen all this stuff that's on YouTube. I'm a big fan of the Freight Train.
Oh, man, yes.
I'd like to get him on the show here.
Please get Freight Train on the show.
If you listen to Freight Train, you got to do it, buddy. All right, Joseph, good answer and good call. Good from hearing from you. Call it anytime.
Thanks, guys. Good hearing. Good talking to you.
Take care now.
Let's see here. We've got the mighty, mighty Lexar.
How you guys doing?
pretty good, Lexar. Are you? Have you got your train ticket yet? Are you going to WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's been booked. I got the Amtrak voucher since my last trip to WrestleMania 27. I was supposed to come home at at about 3:30-ish p.m. But overnight on Monday night going to Tuesday morning, there was a tornado going through North Carolina. So
there's a hurricane coming through.
Did they say it like that over the PA? They're like, "There's a hurricane coming through." Then Shane Helms starts flying beside your train. You're like, oh, he is a hurricane. But what do you want to see? You want to see Jericho versus Punk at WrestleMania? What's the match that got you pumped up?
Absolutely, The Rock and Cena, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Money in the Bank is coming back to WrestleMania, so I'm pumped up. But also, big news from the WWE and TNA. I'll get to TNA later, but first, WrestleMania officially comes to New Jersey.
WrestleMania, you can't wait. You're getting in line. You're going to be manning it up.
You won't have to go too far for that one, then.
Yes, New Jersey, I live here.
Could you stop talking over the mighty Lexar? He's trying to tell us.
Yeah, it's just this one car at a time. It's pretty simple. We'll get to you after we talk to this one guy.
WrestleMania.
All right. Have you been to a WrestleMania before?
Man, can't you pay attention to the Lexar for once, Jack?
I don't know. I'm confused. All right.
He's been to, like, the last four, I think.
I don't know.
Probably, I don't know.
Why would they go to a hellhole like New Jersey?
Actually, you should make the drive down to New Jersey to check out WrestleMania 29.
Oh, man. Where is there a big stadium in New Jersey?
Yeah, MetLife Stadium. That's a giant.
Man, all these stadiums now are named after, like, businesses. MetLife Stadium, Dunkin' Donuts Arena.
Dunkin' Blownuts Arena.
Okay, Kansas City.
Young All right, so what was on your mind in TNA there, Lexar?
You probably talked about this earlier in the show, but Vince Russo got his release from TNA.
Uh-huh.
So there's a cool question.
Did you let out a release when he was released?
Yeah, he said. But what will Vince Russo go from here? Will he stay in wrestling, or will he go away from wrestling completely and go into other projects? And will TNA, the product, and the ratings improve or stay the same?
Enter. Where is he going? Vince Russo, he's been in wrestling for years. You've been following his career, the ups and the downs. You've been loving his writing. Does he go to Ring of Honor?
I think he's done. I mean, Jim Cornette's in Ring of Honor. There's no way he's going there.
Does he go back to WWE?
I don't think they'll have him.
You couldn't say the name of the company.
Does he go to Chikara?
That'd be interesting. Vince Russo and Chikara.
Does he start? Does he bring back Ring of Glory?
We need the Ring of Glory.
Did he start up a new federation, Vince Russo Wrestling Federation? What is going to happen to Vince Russo?
I don't know.
I think we see the end of him in wrestling. But who knows? I'm surprised the guy's never got a job again after WCW. And after his first run in TNA, it's been around so long. So I don't know. I think people just keep hiring him. I'm going to say it. And sure, I'm going to throw out there. I say he returns to WWE. I think in the next year we see him return to WWE.
I think you're way off on that one.
I think we do. I think they hire him back.
You want to put your money where your mouth is?
All right. What do you want to put on it?
50.
Five cents? $5.
You're on, tough guy.
$5 from a year to today. So mark it in your calendar next year's birthday for Mrs. Big Red Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Russo has signed with WWE. By then, you pay up to $5. And if not, I will pay you $5.
It's on. If I could shake your hand right now, I would.
Let me get out this sanitizer.
Oh, you don't need that. I haven't been playing with myself or anything.
I have.
Oh, so it's more like it's you, not me.
All right, I was just looking out for you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very courteous of you. Lexar, you're a man among men. You take care, my friend.
We will talk to you soon, like Mighty May Lexar!
Hey, that's in my opinion, Vince Russo should be with the WWE, but stay away from the creative team completely. Stay away from the running department. Don't give him a pin.
He should be the world champion.
So let me clarify this. If he isn't, like, in the writing department, and he gets hired back as, like, the janitor or something, you win the bet? Is that how this goes?
He's part of the ring crew. The ring crew.
Jack, I'm asking you a question. You need
I say bring him in, give him a run for the world belt. I'd have him win next. I'd have him win the 2013 Royal Rumble.
No.
Main event WrestleMania: John Cena versus Vince Russo. He comes out. They put the money down for him to come out. I'm Iron Man. Here comes Vince Russo to the ring.
Terrible.
Dethrones John Cena.
I think he would embrace the hate at that point. But anyways.
He blockbuster business from WWE. Vince Russo's the champ.
I think I'm going to be $5 richer next 15th.
Well, he don't
February
have to
next year.
He just has to sign with him in some capacity.
So a janitor, you're going to win the bet.
Sure, anything. I think we will see him return to WWE.
It's not going to happen.
McMahon likes to bring back people so he can humiliate him. I think he'll get off on it.
Alrighty.
All right, Lexar, it's good talking to you.
Good talking to you guys.
Take care, my friend. Be well.
All right. Pumped. He doesn't have to ride on the train to go to WrestleMania next year.
Man, would you ride a train to get tickets to WrestleMania? If you know what I'm saying.
William liked that one, didn't he? Nah, I don't need to go to WrestleMania that bad.
All right. Well,
depends what kind of train we're talking about. But I think I know what kind of train's in your head.
Yeah.
So.
You'd be riding the hoe train.
Hoe train?
Yeah, you know, like the hoes there with the Godfather.
Can I wrap it up?
Sure. You don't have to go bareback.
All right, let's get to another caller.
All right, we've got Jamal on the line.
Bareback. What's going on?
I know.
Yeah, I'm there. What's up, man? I mean, what's going on?
Nothing. Talking to Jamal here. Uh-huh. Kicking back, rocking out with my clock out.
What did you think about Monday Night Raw? Did you think it made Zack Ryder look like a real man's man when he was turned down by Eve and John Cena stole his woman?
Oh, that harlot broke his heart, I swear. I tell you what, oh my gosh. I'm so dang on mad, I said to myself, she's a harlot. I tell you what,
Yeah, she's a little Jezebel, but
Jezebel.
She's something, but I can't say it on the airwaves. But okay.
But anyways, I don't know. I thought it was a good week for Monday Night Raw. Even the bad parts were just, you know, kind of comical. So, did you like the Shawn Michaels HBK promo?
It was so much. The only good thing really to me was the wheelchair.
Yeah, where they pushed Zack Ryder off.
Yeah, that was the only really good thing. Like, that's the way to end the show.
Mm-hmm. That was a crazy bump. You don't see stuff like that much.
No, you don't. Or Big Show actually connecting a hit with someone.
You know, I was watching Big Show Randy Orton out there wrestling. And, you know, it struck me, Big Show, for that man's size, that no other giant is able to take the bumps he can. And I think while he's so impressive, I think it's hurt the man's career that he can do that because they take advantage of it. He's taken way more bumps than he should. He's out there taking bumps for a drop kick. And I don't think he should be doing that. And I think it would be better for him, it would be better for the company, better for his career, if they would just build up to one big bump he takes, not all these bumps throughout the match. And then friggin' Orton, he really botched the RKO. And then I'm reading now he got a concussion during that match, and he's out again. This guy's got a lot of injuries.
Yeah, he's been out a lot throughout his career. He's had a lot of trouble. Shoulder problems and concussions.
Mm-hmm, pooping in bags.
Anderson wasn't ready for that one.
Well, that was just extracurricular activities, wasn't it?
Oh, I guess so. Now, what do you think if roles reversed? And what do you think if Amy Weber would have pooped in his luggage?
I think she definitely would have been fired, yeah.
Yeah. This is a double standard. The women cannot poop in people's stuff.
Well, some guys might be into that, though.
Mm-hmm. But she's pretty little. Probably wouldn't have been too much.
Like a deer dropping or something?
Yeah. Mouse turd.
You think it's like her she kissed at first.
What did Jamal say?
I think he said we're fucking hilarious. Well, we just try to think of filthy nonsense and then we just say it on the air. So.
I was asked a serious question. I thought that's
all these nonsense questions are serious.
It's the double standard. Why can X-Pac, why can Randy Orton poop in people's stuff and get away with it? And why can't a woman do it? I'm standing up for equal rights.
I could see ODB trying something like that.
I bet she probably.
I could see, you know, Randy Orton walking to the back and be like, hey, who pooped in my back here? And then she just goes, oh, bang, and then walks out.
Grabs her hoo-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird how she's always grabbing herself?
Hmm. She picked it up from Roseanne Barr.
Really?
I think that's how she gets hot before she does a big finish.
Mm. Does she do it for you, Jamal?
No.
Jamal's not down with that.
He's more like, how about Velvet Sky?
No, I don't like that.
Really? What woman's rock in your world there, Jamal? Who's revving up the engines?
Miss Tessmacher.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
I can't deny that
too much. That's another one they push for a while, and you just stop seeing her.
Well, she's working for TNA, but she wants to win the Hooters Award. Can you believe that?
I'm certain she got some nice Hooters.
She does.
She does.
But she's got a nicer ass. Do they have a restaurant just for asses?
Rumps is what there. They need to call it.
Rumps, there we go. That's what I'm going to open up. Restaurant just for women with nice asses. That'd be weird.
Yeah. Do
they
like
serve your food with their ass?
Would you be for that?
Not necessarily. I don't want anything. I don't want my food near the poop chute. Female or not.
Take off my ass.
So you're saying
Fuzz's Miss burger tastes like ass.
Miss Tessmacher's offering you, you know, T-bone steak off her ass. You're gonna deny it.
I prefer when I'm eating cow's ass, not to, for it to be in somebody's ass. So.
What about Miss Tessmacher's ass just smothered in A1 sauce?
Nope.
You're telling me you're not gonna be tossing this A1 salad there?
No.
Oh man.
Alright, Jamal. Anything else, my man, before we let you go?
Come check out Classic Championship Wrestling in Pennsylvania.
No, man, what's the word? Let's get a proper plug for this. Now, where is this about?
Oh, it's in Marysville, Pennsylvania. Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We're like in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. It's Classic Championship Wrestling, CCW.
Okay.
And, you know, come check it out. Come support the indies, and you know, you'll have a ball. Once you come, you're always going to be a fan for life.
Alright. Sounds like good stuff. Who do you got on the card coming up?
Rob Noxus, PD Noxus, Vargas, Jay Money, Jamala, Chris Rush, Matt TRK Silk, and on. So for Dylan James, the Bulldog Dylan James, Jason Havoc, Damian Destruction, the list goes on. Everybody who's there put on a show for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. We want to thank you for calling in, Jamal. You're a good dude. We'll talk to you later. You've been entering the contest, too, so you might win yourself a prize.
All right.
Intro, I got to bring some up here.
I
in
bet
the
Jamal's hoping he gets his undies.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, this man, President Clinton, intro.
Yeah.
He just said a good steak should never have white A1 sauce on it. What do you say to that?
He's just trying to get on my nerves again, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man, I like condiments. I like ketchup on my french fries. I don't care if the french fries are good on their own. I like ketchup on them. That's just the way I am. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like A1 on my steak. I can still taste the fine subtleties about a steak that's been well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
If it has a little bit of A1 on it or a lot of A1 on it. I can tell. Because I can tell if I go to the Ponderosa and I get a steak, and I can tell the difference between it, and then I go to the Outback and get a steak with A1.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell the difference. Outback, it's more quality, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I disagree. I think there's just people who like A1, and there's people who don't. I don't think it ruins my steak. That's just how I like it. That's just my preference. If you don't want to go about eating A1 in your steak, that's just fine. But I like A1 on my steak, and that doesn't make me a child, President Clinton.
Oh, man. You take that, President Clinton. Like Team Ninja just said here, Incher is a man of simple taste. He enjoys ketchup with his fries, A1 with a steak, and a boner with his handshake.
There you go. What about you, Jack? How do you feel about that?
It depends on my mood, but I'll agree with you that I can make a really nice, porterhouse steak or New York strip or ribeye, whatever it is, and if I feel like having some steak sauce with it, I will. It can be really high quality steak. It doesn't matter if I'm in the mood for some steak sauce with it, it's all good. And sometimes I'm not, and I just like a steak. But sometimes I like some steak sauce with it. And when I do, it don't matter how good the steak is. If you're in the mood for some sauce, it just adds to it.
So you flip-flop. You like it, and sometimes you don't. It just depends upon your mood.
Right.
I'm that way with some.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't it doesn't mean, like, if the steak's so good that I just don't want no sauce with it. It just, if I'm in the mood for sauce, put some sauce on it, no matter how good it is. If you're in the mood for sauce, it just adds to it.
Like, I'll go to Bob Evans, and I'll get some of their home fries.
Brutal Bob?
Not Brutal Bob, just Bob Evans, the farmer. And I get his home fries, and sometimes I like to put a little ketchup on them. Most of the time, I don't, though. It just depends what kind of mood I'm in.
Gotcha. I like malt vinegar and salt on my fries.
Okay. Well, that's your deal, man.
Mm-hmm. But only like a good steak fry. Not like for fast food fries. But anyway, if you guys want to call in, it's 508-644-8503. Time is running out to call in.
You thought you had an argument there, didn't you, President Clinton?
Take that, Clinton. Son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You try to argue like a child through your text messaging. Typing it in on a keyboard instead of calling in like a man.
Oh, man. All right, Intra. Speaking of sons of bitches, we got Joel Gomez on the line.
You horrible little man. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, JoJo.
Worse now that you called in.
Well.
I'm just kidding, you Gomes!
Oh, Jack.
Don't
you
get
and
your panties in a wad.
Always with the insults. So how you guys doing? Fine, I hope.
We're doing
pretty
good
as well.
Spanking it. We're keeping it fresh.
By the way, OIB, is it Jiffy? Not OIB, Jack. Is it Jiffy Lube or Purell that you use?
What in the world is he talking about?
About the hand sanitizer.
Oh, it's actually. I'll take a picture of it later. It's actually hand sanitizer. And I swear that this is true. I'm taking it out of the bag right now. It actually says, in your head on it. They sent it to me from a place where I get my pens made. And it's got a... I don't know. I didn't send for this. They always send me free samples. And I don't know where they got this picture. It must have got off the website. And it's a picture of me and Incher at the fan fest.
Because when you see those two, you just want to wash your hands.
And for some reason it says IYH, and then it lists my home address. I don't know why. And it says antibacterial hand sanitizer pocket sprayer.
I see. Because I'm a long time customer of Jiffy Lube, so I was just curious about that. But not about wrestling. 2 points I wanted to make, if you don't mind, really quickly.
Go for it, dog.
Okay. The HBK Triple H promo thing, I thought it was a little, went too long, I think.
No, I don't dug it. I really dug it, but yeah, go on.
I think it was, kept repeating and repeating. This is it, you know, they were just having their moment, and, you know, but it looked to me like they were doing this just for themselves, and we're not doing this for the audience. HBK and Triple H.
So it was like a masturbatory promo.
Yes, they were not circle jerking because you need 4 people for that, but it's similar to that.
There was a circle jerking.
Yes, it has to be a circle.
Well, we're speaking to the expert. Is this a circle jerk? I mean, don't be asking questions.
Well, it's better than to spend Valentine's Day alone.
You spend it with the 3 friends.
Yes, it's watching some wrestling. Not wrestling.
So you're out there watching Triple H and you're in circle jerking.
God damn it.
You stepped right into that one, dude.
Bear trap. Jack, speaking of bears, the bear trap. The other point, John Cena, still getting the love from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys noticed this.
We hate you, Chad.
We hate you.
I don't think
they could be clearer. Yes. I don't know if you guys noticed John Cena doing the X symbol with his hands. You know, and people ask why Cena is hated. I think that's one of the things right there. And did you notice him doing the X?
When did he do
it? When Zack Ryder fell, he started running, and then...
Oh, yeah.
He looked to the left and did the X symbol. Just, I don't know, why is it for the smarks? Why did he do that? I just find it completely strange.
And doesn't it suck that, like, the girl who told him she just wants to be friends, she comes out and checks on him? I mean, and they kind of booed her when she came out because it's like, dude, Eve sucks. So it doesn't really do her any favors that she's turning down Zack Ryder.
I just don't understand how this, all the bookers are making this something that will make the fans like Cena more. I just don't understand. That's what happens when you start selling I Hate Cena t-shirts on the stands.
So, you know, when you're selling both shirts that you love the guy and shirts that you hate the guy, now, do you have to, it's like, now normally if you got a baby face, you're like, well, we got to make sure, try to get people to like this guy.
Yeah,
we got a heel. We got a heel. Let's try to make people hate this guy. But if you're selling shirts where that people hate and love him, do you have to try to make people both part of the audience love him and part of the audience hate him?
I think they could.
Like making work harder for you. I think.
I don't know. They should at least do some tweener ish. You know, sort of like, you know, you could start, at least start dissing the audience that is booing him. You know,
what
they,
do you
they
feel
hate
the percentages of the audience that just hates him and the percentages that likes him?
I'd say it's about 80% dislike him at this point. I think there's a 20% that really do really like him, like a lot
out here,
buying his stuff. But because there are people that, I mean, you see a lot of the shirts and stuff in the crowd, but I think it's really more towards them hating him now than like a 50-50 split.
And the voice is a lot deeper from those who hate him. You know, they have a more manly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really overflown now.
Yes, the hate comes from the testicular region all the way to the throat.
I think when you got people out there telling you that you're supposed to hate him or that people hate him, I think it affects the people that do like him because they think like if you're a kid and if people are hating this guy, I mean, you're easily swayed. You're going to be like, well, I mean, there's something wrong with me for liking this guy. I'm going to start disliking him. And I just think it gets people that actually do like him away from that and start to dislike him.
No, I guess that they thought that, you know, the first one night stand show, they thought, okay, Cena's going to be hated, but people forget this after one night stand is over. Problem is, since that event, hating Cena has become like a cool thing to do, you know, to hate him. And it has not decreased since that event. And it has been like 2006 or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a long time.
All right, Joel, well, you've been entering the contest. You brought some good topics this week. I'll give you that.
Just this week? Come on, man.
Well, I mean, there's been other years, but this week is pretty good stuff.
He really liked it when you described masturbating to wrestling.
It's kind of made my day. What is your favorite match to have a circle jerk to?
Well, as most of the IWC, probably Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels.
The Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I'm not the only one doing that.
A long time.
That match.
Mm.
Yes.
Now, is there like a contest there? The last guy to, you know, to hit the cracker during the Iron Man match has to eat it or what?
No, it's just having a good time.
All right. It's all about a good time. That's a good man there. Thank you for calling in, Joel.
And the masturbation is metaphorical.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. How do you have a metaphorical circle jerk?
I don't know.
The blue guy answer, I know you, we can't talk too much about the circle jerk, but he wants to know, Jerry Lawler's show is coming back to the airwaves. What do you think? I guess he used to do show back in the day, and now he's doing a Sunday morning show again. 11 a.m., the Jerry the King Lawler show.
Oh, cool. So it's like, I've seen a segment where he had Bobby Eaton on his talk show. And was that the one that he had before?
I believe so, yes.
Huh. So is it only going to be aired like in the Memphis area?
I think so. So it really has no effect on us.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Hopefully it gets leaked out on the internet.
Mm.
I wonder who all he's going to be interviewing.
Mm. I don't know. Maybe some old-time Memphis guys.
Yeah. How do you think get WWE guests, I bet?
Oh, yeah. He's friggin' Lawler. He could have Vince McMahon on there. LeBlue, yes, wants to know, who are you surprised how well The Rock's new movie did?
Oh, did it do well?
I guess so. I didn't think it did that well. I thought it was like number two or three.
I hadn't heard anything. But if he's saying it went well, then that's good. But I don't know. I think those type of movies, they're always going to get, you know, a couple bucks thrown their way because, you know, families want to go see something. So it's probably the only thing that they can go see. But I don't know. It's a sequel to something. So I guess, like, maybe the first one was big, but I don't even remember the first one.
Yeah, apparently it was Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Okay, but I remember hearing that. About
yeah, that. I remember they that. Just, it looked like total shit.
Yeah, they just call it Journey 2.
Yeah. Wow, someone just posted a, it's pretty funny, it was Gummy Bear Bukkake in the chat room here.
That's what they posted?
Yeah. That kind of stuff's going down in the chat room.
I don't think I need to see that.
It is pretty funny. I'm sending you a link. Check it out. I'm telling you think it's funny.
Alright.
6 a.m. Sandman saying, what do you think about Joey Styles' stupid comment about the Zack Ryder bump? Has he lost his mind? I don't know. I actually did think it looked like a pretty hard bump. He went off the stage and landed knees first. I don't know. Like it would probably hurt to me. And it wasn't just him. Mick Foley mentioned it too. And I think if anyone knows about hard bumps, it would probably be Mick Foley.
Oh,
man, he's taken a few back in the day.
Man. Poor orange gummy bear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say Mick Foley knows about taking some falls. And I mean, that would be rough. I mean, like, just imagine your knees smashing on a concrete floor.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Mick Foley. Mm-hmm. All right. The president brings up No Holds Barred was the number two movie in the country when it debuted.
I went to see it in theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think being number two is that big of a deal for like for 1 week.
My poor mother, I made her sit through that.
Did she enjoy it?
I'm sure she didn't. Oh, man. Zeus
here it is.
Badass, though.
It opened at number three. I don't think that's that great. I don't know.
I guess it's better than, like, number six.
Yeah, but for your debut week, I don't think it's that great. I think you want to be number one, because you go down every week after that, usually.
Yeah. Hmm.
I know this will be sad news for you, Incher.
Mm-hmm.
But The Rock has turned down the sequel to Tooth Fairy.
Why would he do that? I mean, wasn't it one of his biggest movies? Were they not paying him enough?
I don't know. He said he's doing the Fast and Furious 6.
Why would he want to do that over the Tooth Fairy? You know, the movie that made him a laughing stock. Who are they going to get to be in the Tooth Fairy 2? I'll do it. If they want me, pay me the money, I'll do it. I'll be the Tooth Fairy. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hate all these new. I love The Rock, but I hate all these videos about him being this movie star. Look at this shit. I want to see about them wanting to beat each other up, not about Twitter and who has more followers and who's trending and who's a bigger movie star. I want to see him fight.
Saw The Rock on Jimmy Fallon, and it was a good little interview segment, but then they did this skit afterwards that was just stupid, really. It was like Jimmy Fallon was messing up lines and went, you know, like it was outtakes from Journey 2. And they just really didn't use The Rock correctly because he can be a pretty hilarious guy, but all his role was like just keep repeating the line.
Now, Beef wants to know, what happened to Jericho's chest? It looks like Virgil and Rob Parker ran a titty train on him hardcore.
I don't know. I had never even thought about Jericho's chest. Or anybody running a train on him. But it is a funny question. I don't think there's anything wrong with his chest.
Well, I didn't notice anything.
Yeah, I mean,
I noticed that he's more ripped than he used to be. Like, he's got abs now.
Oh, my God.
No, let's see. The blue guy, thinking about being Mark Henry, he's going into this Hall of Fame. It's not Wrestling Hall of Fame. It's like a collegiate wrestling or something. Or like, I don't know what it is. Some kind of budget Hall of Fame.
He's going into it?
Yeah.
Well, good for him. I mean, I don't know nothing about real wrestling. I just know about pro wrestling.
It's not wrestling. It's like Olympic Hall of Fame or something.
Oh, for his weightlifting thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he deserves it. I mean, did he win a gold medal or what?
No, he didn't do anything.
Really?
He sucked ass in the Olympics, too.
Oh. Well, maybe they're just giving it to him because of his fame, but I don't know. I don't really have any real thoughts on it, but hell, give it to him. What is it? What do I care?
He could go like the sexual chocolate Hall of Fame.
The best sexual chocolate ever.
Mm-hmm. Did you look at that picture I sent you?
Yeah, with the teddy.
It was pretty cute, wasn't it?
With the orange bear. I said the poor orange bear.
Oh, he did. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Now he's posted all kinds. I guess there's like a big fetish now that the fatty boom daddy's into.
We just stumbled on a world we never knew of.
Yeah, it got me bear porn. That's what doing it for the dubs. That'd be pretty good, though, if you're into that, because then you could just, like, go buy, like, packs of gummy bears and just make up your own movies at home.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Save some cash. What would you do if someone walked in on you and you were, like, doing stuff to gummy bears?
I think that's the time you go and get your gun and just end it. I mean, you can't really live with yourself having somebody know that, you know. You
jerking the gherkin of the gummy bears.
Yeah, I mean, it's time just to call it quits on everything.
Gummy bears up in here and there and everywhere. Remember that show?
Gummy bears?
Yeah, it was a cartoon, the gummy bears.
The ones that would, like, drink the drink and bounce?
Yeah.
They were called gummy bears?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I always wanted, like, a bottle of that drink, because it looked so good to me when I was a kid.
It's pretty much like teaching kids to do drugs.
Oh, well, I mean...
What do you think, though?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, I think, like, you know, they say, like, Alice in Wonderland, like, you know, caused people to trip and everything, but... I don't know.
I think that was the whole meaning behind the book.
It might have been. Who knows? But I think people
it's like
who...
like the drug-addicted pedophile wrote it.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Well, maybe there was something to that. Maybe I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
But anyway, anything else in the world of wrestling you want to talk about?
Man. Cavzilla.
Cavzilla. Nash has been removed from the WWE website.
Think he's done?
I guess so.
That was
he's still on there on the alumni, but he's no longer in the Raw roster.
That one bump took him out.
It was a pretty big bump.
It was.
All right, guys, let everybody know, check out IYHWrestling.com. And if you're on there, you can listen to the show live. You go to the chat room and you can interact with us in the chat room during the live show. Also join the message board. You can interact with everybody during the week. When there's no show, you can leave questions, comments. You can talk about wrestling, non-wrestling topics. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? And if you help out the show, if you... you know, if you plug it on your website, your blog, your Facebook, your Twitter, wherever it is, you'd be entered in the weekly prize wheel drawing. So you could have a chance. Plus, you help the show out. And I want to call this something, Inter. I want to call this Spread the Head. So if you listen to the show, you enjoy it, and you want to help out in your head, spread the head. And how you do that, all you got to do, Incher, just tweet about it in your head. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your website, your blog, whatever it is. Just help spread out the show. It's good times. Spread the head.
Excellent. Alrighty, Jack. We will return next week.
We will be returning here next week. Same heady time, same heady channel. And we will be joined by Hannibal, and we'll be talking all about blood and Hep C and Abdullah the Butcher.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Messiah, and you're listening to IYHWrestling.com.